become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you.
Go ahead. Shoot. You'll get nothing from me. You are filth. I spit in the face of filth.
Dexter, I've come to get you out of here.
You're American?
Yes, from America. Let's go.
My friend, I yearn for freedom as much as anyone, but I run from no man.
You've got to come with me.
I can't walk. They've tied my shoelaces together.
A knot. Bastards.
To Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Si usted se considera una persona de amplio criterio musical, escuche lo siguiente.
Some sake.
I want sake.
Sake.
What's good here?
Everything we have. Everything.
What's this? Looks like a worm.
That's a resident food.
What does it taste like?
You're gonna throw up.
Okay. Let me have the tuna.
Tuna.
Yes,
okay. Tuna. There we go. Tuna.
Ooh, very fast.
Very fast. So I've been told.
Delicious.
Do you like it?
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So how many days are you looking at? How many days are you looking at?
Nine?
Mm-hmm. 9 days? Oh, my God. 9 days!
9 days!
Thank you very much! You're going to have more sake.
You got 9 days.
Yeah.
I had 15. Name's Frank.
Daddy.
I got to take a piss. You want to go?
Thank you very much!
I'm not leaving. I'm just going to take a piss.
Take a piss!
Take a piss! Take a
piss! What do I start with?
Easy. Star Wars.
Jealous. Enjoy while we sort this out. And don't worry. The force is strong in this one. No idea what that means, but I am pumped.
So, we'll have fun.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, whoa, Casey. Want to watch Star Wars with me?
No, but hey, we don't start with New Hope. Old ones, nobody likes it. Phantom Menace. Everyone loves Phantom Menace.
Hey, you're all right. Thanks, man. Yeah, sure.
The Phantom Menace. Yeah, this is gonna be awesome.
I seriously like Phantom Menace because I would rather scratch out my eyeballs than to listen to that Jar Jar Binks anymore.
I lied. Start with the originals. You love those.
Really? Thanks, man. Thanks.
Oh, hey. Just so you know. Darth Vader. Luke's father. Leia's his sister. Still mad.
We'll be right back.
That's your gift.
Come on, man. Indiana Jones. I like these. You holding out on me? Is this the only three? You're not like keeping the good ones for yourself or something?
There's just the three.
Yes! Woohoo! Boom goes the dynamite! Hello, everyone! It is Friday, and that means it's time for Entertainment Landfill. Welcome to the show. Film, television, and pop culture talk every Friday if we can. And we've been doing a pretty good job of showing up on Fridays. I don't do the show alone. I also do it with Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How's it going, Bill?
Greetings and salutations.
You may have noticed, Bill, that I skipped Steven.
Well, we like to do that once in a while. Want it to go to his head.
Yeah. It's like, you know what, Steven, you're getting a big head. You can't be on the show this week.
Your head's too big already.
Well, why not? Huh? I don't understand. Yeah, he gets all upset. And
it passes. He has short-term memory loss.
It's not pretty.
Steven is my name.
No, Steven is stuck in Colorado, I believe. And, you know, sometimes he tells me where he's going to be, and I just, like, hear Colorado. I have no idea where it is.
He's smoking it up in Colorado.
Yeah, it's legal, man. Woohoo! Yeah!
It's the brownies!
Yeah, man. Yeah, Steven likes the vapor, man, because you don't get the carcinogens, you know?
That's not vapor. That's a bong.
So, Bill, how are you doing this week?
I'm excellent.
You know, our lives will change next week when Destiny is released.
Oh, God, man. That's going to be such a hard week, too.
Destiny. And it comes out, it comes out on Tuesday, where I guess the entire world will change, you know, and
we might have to skip the Friday show.
Seize your destiny.
Yeah, what did you think? That's the thing. I was going to say this before, but I forgot on another show where we were talking about Halo came out on Xbox 360 only when it was released. The first Halo, and even Halo 2, Halo 3, and Halo 4. How long before, like, this is the first time Destiny's launching on Xbox One, Xbox 360, PS4.
You know what's really strange about this entire Destiny thing, the multi-platform, is only Sony has the advertising rights for it.
Yeah, what is that about?
Yeah, so they're the only ones that can advertise like that it's on the PS4, and Microsoft is shit out of luck, but they did some print thing where it's Destiny Cologne or something. it was kind of a little jab at them, but I guess, you know, you want to have certain exclusivity, and when it's a multi-platform like that, I guess the advertising exclusivity is prime real estate.
Yeah, I noticed this really cool live-action Destiny commercial came on, and at the end it says PS4, you know, Seize Your Destiny, and I was like, and Xbox One? Hello?
And eventually Xbox 360, even though it'll look like kapoopy?
Yeah, usually what they do, is it going to be on the PS3 also?
Might be, I don't know.
Usually what they do is they show, like, all the boxes of every system at the end of commercials, but no, it's just PS4. It's like, but it's coming out. Bill, it's not coming out on the Xbox One.
I gotta admit, though, that white PS4 with Destiny bundled is sexy.
Yeah.
Oh, is that sexy. Like, I was looking at it like, I already have a PS4, but I want that so bad.
Yeah, they do a good job of making you like, oh, yeah, I think I could find room for this in my entertainment center.
I wish they would have released the Titanfall-designed Xbox One. I would have picked that up. That was pretty hot, too.
I forgot what that looked like.
It just had, I think it was white, but it had the number and the design of kind of the Titanfall style.
You know, it's pretty, but it's not really practical. That thing will be a dust magnet, you know?
Oh my God. Yeah. But white is so much easier to look clean than the black. Even though the PS4 was smart, they didn't do the what do they call that? A piano finish, like that kind of glossy.
It's kind of flat matte finish, isn't it?
Well, only one section has the glossy finish, and that's the part that covers the hard drive.
Right.
But yeah, it's much easier to keep clean than the Xbox One. But I digress.
Yeah, I started watching. Not only did they release that commercial, they released a new mission, like where you could just watch it. I started watching it. I was like, what the hell am I doing? And I turned it off.
You're going to spoil it for yourself.
Yeah, I want to experience this myself. I don't want to see some other jackass play it.
Now, here's the big question. Does your significant other know about this?
Know about what?
Destiny.
Well, she knows about the commercials, and she watched me play the beta.
Oh, okay. All right.
What's funny is she watched me play the death matches. You know, basically in the beta, once you were finished with the story mission, it only let you go so far. All you could do was play death matches.
And I just know she has MMO PTSD.
Not so far, but she watched me play some of the death matches. She goes, why is this game that fun? You just keep doing the same thing over. I go, no. I'm just doing this because this is all I can do right now. The game has a story and it's awesome and you fly to other planets and you have a spaceship and you have Peter Dinklage following you everywhere. It's awesome. And she was like, okay.
A wizard. He must be from the moon.
Right. Well, that dialogue wasn't in there anymore, Bill. When I played
Bastards.
It, they need to put it back in. Don't you
Did
think?
You know that shirt, was the highest, selling shirt on I almost said BioWare on Bungie's website for a while, to the point where it sold out. People made fun of it, but it turned into this kind of trademark.
Yeah, what he says, that wizard came from the moon.
Yeah.
And when the game first was alpha, come on, it was the alpha. People were like, Peter Dinklage's voice isn't that great in the game. It's very like very
robotic,
monotone. Yeah. And you know, they were like, well, you know, it's not, this is the alpha, and wait till we're finished with the game. And sure enough, in the beta, they added cool sound effects, and his voice sounded so more robotic, more like an artificial intelligence kind of thing than just Peter Dinklage talking into a microphone. I think here's like a clip of it.
The Hive haven't been on Earth in centuries. That wizard came from the moon.
Yeah, so people are like, it's so simple sounding, you know? But it sounds way cooler now. I never experienced it like that because I didn't play alpha, but as I played beta, I was like totally bought him as this bot that flies around with you.
But it just shows how nitpicky and irritating gamers can be because there's nothing wrong with that line delivery. Who cares?
Right, right.
When I was playing it and I encountered the wizard from the moon, I was just like, oh, he's from the moon. Okay, I got to kill him.
Yeah, I was like, what does that mean? But when you encounter the wizards, it's like, take him out!
He's floating around trying to kill you. You're just trying to kill him. Who cares if he's from the moon? I'm going to go kill the moon next.
You and I just experienced Destiny one day together where we played the beta, and it was awesome. Like,
it was so much fun.
Thinking back to that tank and shooting it in the legs and over again, it was so much fun. I can't wait to experience more of that.
And I hope that our listeners that have Xbox Ones will join us in it.
Oh, yeah, that'll be cool. One thing that's cool is when you do missions that need other people and you're not in a group, it'll just team you up with random people.
Hopefully we don't get assholes.
Yeah.
Well, we were lucky on that one where it was three against that big tank, and the guy worked really well, and he would revive us and everything. So
yeah, I like not talking to strangers, but I don't like when I play a game and all of a sudden someone's like, hello? Are you there? And it's just like, no. Or some kid,
hey, who's there? Homo? You guys are cock smokes.
Yeah, it's like, oh, great. Okay, let me just...
You're gay.
Oh. I remember it really freaked me out the first time I played. By default, a default setting of Dead Rising 3 is that people can join you in the game. I don't know why it's a default like that. I started playing, and all of a sudden this other player was there jumping around, this other guy. I was like, who the hell is that? And I started shooting at him and hitting him and stuff. And, you know, I couldn't hear his voice or anything or talk to him, but I was weirded out. I was like, I don't want this stranger playing with me.
Who are are you?
So I like went into the settings and I turned it off. I was like, I'll play with Bill, but I'm not going to play with some random stranger.
That's strange that they would put that on. It's like they force you into the multiplayer and no one wants that.
They were like, hey, isn't it a cool feature? You can just play with people. It's like, no, it's not.
I don't want to play with this person. I don't know them.
Yeah, not against my will, okay? But what's funny, now that I'm contradicting myself, because Destiny, you do play with strangers, but the experience is so much different because you've got a common goal and a common purpose and you're shooting bad guys, yeah. You know?
Bad guys must die. Whereas Dead Rising, it's open world. You can run around and really kind of have no purpose. I think that's why I faded so fast on that game the story was really stupid to begin with.
Yeah. It was kind of thing you play when you get the system to see how cool the graphics are, but man, it didn't hold my interest.
Well, I loved the opening cutscene on the plane. I thought that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I was excited about it. And then once you get into the game and you're just running around building weapons and stuff, like, it just gets monotonous. It's a little too stupid.
Look at all the men walking around, right?
Yeah, and there's some other weird stuff in the game.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Well, we won't bring it up. It's inappropriate for younger audiences.
Yeah. Now, Bill, you started reading, the new Star Wars novel came out called A New Dawn, starring characters that will be in Star Wars Rebels, the TV show. It's the new canon, basically. This, whatever's coming out now, it's in the Star Wars lore, and it's a new age or whatever. I don't know how else to describe it, but you've been reading it, right?
Yeah, it's 8 years after Revenge of the Sith, 6 years prior to the show Star Wars Rebels, and 11 years prior to A New Hope.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that much before A New Hope.
Yeah, it's just kind of in that dawn of the Empire, really, the main big, when they're really taking a hold of it, when the Jedi have been thwarted, and it's a new world, and it's so different. Even just from the moment you start reading it, something feels different about it. I don't know if it's just the way they choose it. There's no mention of, like, clones, and what I really liked was the way they're handling describing the new Star Destroyers, and just the overwhelming sense of dread on in the world right now.
It's definitely the dark times going on, right?
Yeah, everybody's trying to avoid any entanglements with the Empire. There's a lot of building up of their forces right now. It just seems like something is going on and everybody's just willing to keep their mouth shut and just do what the Empire wants them to do.
Right.
Yeah.
It sounds cool.
It's very cool. It involves the new characters from the Rebels TV show, Kanan Jarrus.
Right. So you're getting involved with new characters. What is that like, learning about them and stuff?
Oh, it's really interesting because the Kanan Jarrus character, you realize in the prologue he had force powers, but it doesn't really dwell on it. And he hides it because he knows what would happen to him.
Right.
And, I wouldn't call him he's not a bounty hunter. He's not a smuggler. He's just doing what he can to live. You know, whether that's transporting people and hauling, chemicals or, explosives for the Empire. He just does what he has to do. And that's really where I am right now, is him just kind of coming to terms with who he is and how he doesn't like where he is.
So he has his own ship and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And he works for somebody, he works for a group. It's very Han Solo, Jabba the Hutt-esque kind of relationship.
You know, I love that they gave him the name Kanan, because I love that name from Outlander, the movie.
Oh, God, I love Outlander.
Because his name,
and not the romantic back in time lady in medieval
Scotland. Yeah, not the
Scotland.
Star series, the movie with Jim Caviezel.
Yeah, that's
Outlander.
It's Space Jesus in what was it? It's kind of an adaptation of Beowulf.
Yes, it's Space Beowulf. It's set in Viking times.
Yeah, and I love that movie. John Hurt.
But his name is Kanan.
Yes.
And then in the book, this new Star Wars book, Kanan. So it's awesome.
If I ever got like a Mastiff or something, I would name it Kanan.
Or Morwen.
Morwen!
I love that movie. Sometimes they show it on Sci-Fi, which I think is funny, but I always end up watching it with commercials and everything. It's just, I gotta watch it.
I remember when it came out, I don't even know if it's available on Blu-ray in the States yet, but it was available in Canada, and I imported it from Canada to have it on Blu-ray.
It has shown on Showtime occasionally.
Well, that's nice of them.
Yeah, so I can watch it.
It deserves more attention. Come on. When you're blending sci-fi and Vikings, that's just made of awesomeness.
Right. So we got off subject a little on the new Dawn build, but I can't wait to pick it up and read it. I'm very interested.
Well, I'm only 100 pages into a 400-page book, so I'm going very slow. Normally, I would just read all night long when I really love something, but with me going back to school, I have to pick my battles. I have to go, okay, I've read 50 pages, put it down, and get into anatomy stuff. So,
well, also, in October is when Star Wars Rebels comes out, so you'll probably be finished with it by then, most likely.
Oh, yeah, God, I hope to finish it relatively soon. I might just get the audiobook because is it Mark Thompson reads it, and he's the Star Wars go-to guy. He does all the voices differently.
Yeah,
and
very cool.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Star Wars audiobooks. If somebody can't read something, get the audiobook. They're fantastic.
Yeah, if anybody hasn't really listened to a Star Wars audiobook, they have sound effects in them and stuff. It's awesome.
They use the sound effects from the movies. They use the music. Mm-hmm. There's like musical cues and everything. It's wonderful. I love those books. On tape.
And he's narrating like a lightsaber battle. You can hear the lightsabers and stuff. It's really cool.
They're fun. They're like radio plays.
Yeah, theater of the mind. It's awesome. Now, Bill, what do you think? How sad was it that Joan Rivers died this week?
Oh, that was terrible. Like, I mean, just she's. I mean, I was always familiar with Joan Rivers from The Tonight Show. That's when I first saw her.
For years she was the center square also.
Yes, on the second reboot.
Yeah, on Hollywood Squares. And
yeah.
My grandma would always have that on.
I always admired her as a comedian. And she was one of those comedians that never complained. You know, now it seems to be a thing where guys will criticize female comedians, or it seems, you know, there's always kind of this controversial element that female comedians aren't funny that was going around for a while. And you never heard her complain. She just went out and did it. And she was always very acerbic and witty. And she would say really awful things, but they were funny, and felt bad, but that was her thing. You know,
she knew how to
deliver a really mean joke.
Well, it's like even as recent years as, I mean, I didn't know what her age was, but she was obviously in her 70s when she did Celebrity Apprentice, but she entertained us, you know?
Yeah, she was the best part of that show that season.
And she's even recently when she was on that interview where she walked off of it, she could still find a way to entertain us, you know.
And she had a wonderful YouTube show also recently called In Bed with Joan. And it was just a chat show. And she had comedians and actors. And I mean, she was perfect for it. It was wonderful.
And whenever she was a guest on the Howard Stern show, she was always great, a great guest on there too.
Yeah, because there was a mutual respect there, and there's a history, a very, very long history. So I'm I can't say I'm looking forward to when Howard comes back so I can hear his views on it, but he always says the right things whenever it's somebody that meant something to him. His thoughts on Robin Williams were very moving. Especially
I didn't hear talk much about it.
He had talked about how he and Robin had always kind of been on the outs, and he had always regretted that because it was in his younger days, and he would latch on to people and try to alienate people. And there was one time Robin came in for an interview, and it just, he said something that set it off on the wrong foot.
Right. Sometimes they play those early Howard episodes, like the Master Tape Theater. And some of the early episodes, I can barely listen to them anymore. Maybe when I was younger, I thought they were entertaining. Like, there was one where Nicolas Cage was on there a long time ago. And all Howard, he just won't drop what women he's banged and how many. And, you know, it's obvious Nicolas Cage doesn't want to talk about that. So the interview is just going nowhere. But he won't drop it. And I'm just like, talk to him about something else. You know, it seemed like a wasted interview where I bet he would kill to interview him again now, you know?
Yeah. And I think he's burned one too many bridges. He's kind of rehabbing his image with the America's Got Talent stuff, but it's strange. As he ages, I find his show more tolerable.
I like the interviews. I definitely like when he interviews people.
He's gotten much better, but yeah, when he had Joan in, it was always wonderful. I'm sure they'll have something this week dedicated to her. Cause she deserves it. You know, it's like I posted on Facebook. She was a pioneer. You know, she was an incredible comedian.
It's so crazy how it's almost like Robin Williams or Harold Ramis. These people who, when they die, we didn't picture them dying because they've been around our whole lives, you know?
Yeah, it's very strange. It's hard to kind of absorb. I was having kind of a down day that day already, and then when that happened, and I wasn't nearly as affected as Robin Williams because she had a long, 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 wonderful life. And I mean, she might have had 10 years more. I don't know. I don't want to get morbid, but it didn't hit as hard because of the legacy she left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, yeah.
So, but
I thought it was sad.
It's always sad.
It was like the Robin Williams thing was absolutely shocking. The Joan Rivers thing, we'd been hearing about her ailing health for days.
Yeah, and you even asked me, what's going on with Joan Rivers? And I said, her heart stopped during throat surgery. She's in a coma. They're saying they're optimistic, but it doesn't sound good. I'm sure she's already gone, and they just didn't say anything.
Right, right. So that's pretty sad. That's a downer there, but she does leave quite a legacy behind her. And we'll move on to more cheery things, Bill. What do you say about that?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's change
back into
pace.
Oh, by the way, that Destiny commercial, it's funny when he goes, would you like to hear some music? And he goes, play something classical. And it's
Immigrant Song.
Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's always been one of my favorite Led Zeppelin songs. Great. Like bass line and
I gotta say, they got the hover bikes right in that game, because I was thinking about like in Star Wars The Old Republic, it's an MMO, but you have these hover, speeder bikes that just feel like the clunkiest hunks of shit ever. And in fact, you feel stupid when you're riding on them in the game. Your character looks idiotic on them.
I would go out of my way not to ride it.
Right.
Like,
I'll never forget you and I were playing and you got a new one because you have to pay to get faster bikes, like new licenses in the game. And you're like, yeah, I got a new bike. And I saw it appear and you were riding it. And I was just like, that looks ridiculous.
Yeah, it was so ugly.
It was like, and the way the physics in the game, you look so goofy, just kind of like riding on it, like you slide to the left and right and stuff.
It looked like I was riding the snail from the Neverending Story. it was so bad.
But in Destiny, you're like, and the sound effects are awesome as you're going pew and speeding by stuff. It's awesome. Love it.
Yeah, I can't wait to play it.
Now, Bill, we have some voicemail. Let's go ahead and get into that.
All right.
The first voicemail is from Adam Sexton. Let's check it out.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. This is Adam Sexton sending you another voicemail, wishing you good luck on tonight's episode. I am working again tonight. There is a football game at the school where I work, and they are playing a rival school, which means that the populations of both communities will probably show up. There will be a lot of trash, and I'll probably be up here until maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. That's just my guess. That's how it usually works, but it's good to know that you guys are keep on trucking, and I will look forward to the episode when it comes out next week. Next weekend, on the 12th, if you are planning to record an episode, there is no scheduled football game, so I will probably be able to be home and to be able to participate in the chat room for the recording should it happen. So if that's the case, I will definitely look forward to that.
Cool.
Jason, I wanted to say thank you for the feedback that you sent me via Patreon regarding the Pass and Pending episode.
You're welcome.
I will take care of that channel separation thing. That's something I didn't check on when I was editing it, but I'm also using recording and editing technology for like one of the first times, so that's just something I'll figure out on future episodes. Yeah. And I'm hoping next weekend on Saturday the 13th to record a second episode, so maybe then I'll have it figured out. But I do appreciate the kudos. I'm glad you appreciated the discussion. And thank you once again for telling me about that. As far as last week's episode, kind of disappointed to hear about the reaction to the Sin City sequel. But I guess I'll skip it. But I was happy to know that Ghostbusters is still playing in my area this weekend, so I'll definitely be checking it out. And as well as Boyhood, I still desperately want to see that, so I'll probably make like a double bill of both of them, maybe Saturday or Sunday afternoon. Probably Sunday, because I'm planning to spend a lot of time with Diablo 3, and I haven't had a whole lot of time to play video games since I got home after visiting my parents for the Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend, by the way, was a whole lot of fun. Since I'm not going to be able to visit my parents until Thanksgiving, we kind of celebrated my birthday a little early, and my birthday is on the 13th. And I just, you know, we grilled a lot of, we made a lot of meals, especially on the grill. And I got a few presents, but the majority of the really good stuff won't come until the end of next week. So I'm hoping every one of you had a fine weekend. And other than that, I'm still trying to I've been avoiding your talkbacks regarding The Strain because I want to keep spoiler-free about it, although y'all do a reasonably good job of not just spoiling it completely. I'm trying to wrap up Season 2 of The Americans, which has been on my DVR for so long, and I'm down to like the last two episodes, and it is still an amazing show, but my God, it's bleak. It's black as tar. So I'm interested to see how it's going to end up, but I'm also dreading it in a particular way. I was kind of smiling when Bill was talking about Casper hitting Blu-ray, because I can remember renting that when it came out, and I was
don't
sick,
admit to that.
The night I was just sitting on the living room couch, I forgot what I was sick from, and at one particular point, I just, you know, vomited all over the couch. Like I covered almost two cushions, and my father
Casper
cleaned it up. And I said, "I'm sorry." He said, "It's okay. We'll clean it up." So, yeah, I mean, the movie didn't make that big of an impression on me, but the point is that I'm always going to associate vomit with Casper, so, but, which is probably fitting because that movie was crap anyway. Other than that, I really, really appreciate the work that you guys do. I'm thankful for all the new patrons you got and everyone who's still contributing.
Me too.
And I look forward to any other any other episodes or even movie minis or whatever will come in the future. So, guys, good luck with tonight's episode, and have a good weekend, and I will speak to you later. Bye.
Thanks a lot, Adam. Yes, I enjoyed listening to your podcast. There was just one little thing where your voice was on the left and your co-host was on the right, and that was just kind of disorienting when you first start listening to it. And Bill, I have a very sensitive right ear. Like if somebody speaks directly into my ear, it actually kind of, it has this weird tickling sensation.
I did that to you while I was down there and you punched me in the face. It was shocking.
I can't handle it, but I listen to my phone, to it on my phone via the speaker where they were just mono and it sounded fine. And, I remember back when we first started the show, it was all trial and error. Dude, I didn't even know how to edit audio when we first started. So it takes some time, and before you know it, you'll get it down. And by the way, there was more energy and pep in your first episode than there was in ours. So I was, it was a good listen. So keep at it, Adam. Just keep doing the show, and before you know it, you'll have 10, 20 episodes and you're just cranking away. And then maybe around 100, you'll get some feedback or something. That's just the way it works.
just hold out.
Yeah, just hold out. All right, Bill, we have another voicemail. This one from Ken. Hey, we just had him on the show, and now he sent his first voicemail. Pretty cool. Let's check it out.
Hey, Mulberry. Hello, Jason. Bill and Steve, this is Ken calling. Ken from Los Angeles. And just leaving my first voicemail. So this is very exciting, and just want to say thanks again for having me on the show a couple weeks ago, and I just heard last week's show. And first thing is, did you have to be so hard on Ghostbusters 2? Did you have to be just so hard on that movie? It's not a bad movie. I think Ghostbusters 2, and a lot of the reasons you said why it's bad, you know, okay, Bill Murray, he acts like he's just above it all. He's not even going to wear the Ghostbusters suit. You know, he's just got this arch attitude, and that it's a kind of junky movie. That's kind of what I like about it. Because if you think about it, you know, the idea of busting ghosts is kind of a stupid idea. You have to admit.
How dare you say that?
The movie I felt was...
busting makes me feel good.
But between the big laughs, there's not a lot going on. And just something about the way it was made, the cinematography, it just seemed... There are just long stretches where it just seems like some kind of epic special effects, horror thriller. And there are long stretches, especially toward the end, where they're just not laughing. You know, the whole setup with Gozer, and I don't even remember how that all played out, but just these long passages where you're just looking at special effects and not laughing. Then the Marshmallow Man shows up, that's funny, but then they don't really do anything with him. And so anyway. I like Ghostbusters too. I think Bill Murray's hilarious in that movie, and I think it's got a nice spirit to it, and I think it just looks better, you know. Anyway, thanks for checking out Pawn Stars. I appreciate you taking a look at the show, and I just realized as you were watching, I think the season just ended. That was this season. Just when I picked it, I think the show just ended this season, so they'll probably start up the next season maybe next month. But in the meantime, you know, if you want to look at old episodes, that's fine. But if you want to check out the Weeg, that might be an alternate. You want to go with that. But Pawn Stars, you know, you can stick with it. And, you know, I think I agree with Bill that everything on the show is scripted. Absolutely everything. but I think these little things get through. I think reality shows, you see some truth come out almost despite itself.
Little nuggets.
Pawn Stars is kind of like that, where, you know, Rick is obviously someone who wishes he was working with smarter people. You know, he's this autodidact who knows a lot and just wishes the people around him knew as much as he did. You know, Corey, his son, is kind of an asshole. That's pretty clear. In the way he deals with customers, he's just kind of staring at them like, yeah, whatever, dude. He couldn't care less.
He seems pretty disinterested.
The things these people are bringing in and their history. He's just there, you know, to cash a check. Chumlee, I like Chumlee, even though he comes across sometimes as maybe a little semi-retarded.
That's a kind kind of observation.
And, you know, he's a one of a kind, I guess. And the old man is just death warmed over. He's just this bulk sitting in the chair, decomposing. And,
he's meat.
But he was in the war. So he was in the war. So the
I'd
greatest
say the
generation.
Old man's my
you know,
favorite so
respect.
Far.
Yeah, if you want to stick with it, that's great. And you know, when you played the clips from that show, I hadn't really noticed the music ever on that show until you played the clip. And the music stuck out so much. And the music is just horrible. I didn't realize how horrible
yeah,
the music on
like,
that show really
reality
is.
Reality shows, it's like that.
Really, they Mickey Mouse everything on the show. And, I don't know, if you keep up with it, maybe I'll start turning on the show. Maybe I'll start liking
oh,
it.
Oh no.
But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, have a great show and, I look forward to hearing it. All right. Check out later, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Ken. Ken, you know, about the Ghostbusters 2, my revelation that I didn't like the film was actually very recent. I've always, you know, honestly, like, we just saw Ghostbusters, this weekend, past weekend in the theater again. But I've, you know, we've seen it a million times on cable and stuff, but one thing about both films is they're both very anticlimactic. Like, if you look at the original Ghostbusters, they basically, early in the film, they mention that don't cross the streams. It would be bad. So later on in the film, finally, when they encounter Gozer, you know, she says, are you a god? And you're, no. And then flings them. Then the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man comes there. He's made of marshmallow and they zap him. But then they're like, we need to cross the streams. They do. And boom, instantly they defeat the bad guy. There's like no tension or anything, right?
No, it's not a particularly. The movie's really all about the writing.
The movie's all about the premise and Bill Murray and Rick Moranis owns the movie, I think.
Yes,
he is hilarious.
Absolutely.
He brings so many laughs as his character, Lewis. Is that what he's? And in the second film, this is another problem. You know, because I was talking to Heather. You know, Ghostbusters was my kind of like I was at the right age when it came out, and Ghostbusters 2 was more Heather's age when it came out. So she's a fan of Ghostbusters 2. And I was mentioning how like Egon and Janine, I was like, are they get together in that, right? She goes, no, Rick Moranis and Janine get together. And I go, what? Really?
Yeah, it just changed.
I didn't remember that, but I was thinking that's not right. It was obvious they were playing up like the sexual tension between Egon and Janine in the first film, right?
Yeah.
And so to put the other two together, it just didn't make sense. So I was watching the film and I was like, I don't remember any of this shit because I blocked it out of my mind, you know? And, just the scenes, it's too forced. The one thing that I think is funny is they made Janine look more like the cartoon character.
Funny how that kind of, how that worked.
Yeah. But, it was just like, I was watching it recently and I was just thinking, this really isn't that great. It's not very good. And I remember when I saw it in the theater thinking, wow, that was anticlimactic. Like the ending just happens. It's kind of like the same thing with the Statue of Liberty. Well, this time the Statue of Liberty is working for them. But have you ever noticed this, Bill? When they arrive with the Statue of Liberty, Statue of Liberty doesn't do anything but bring them there, and then they rappel off of the head and crash through the glass. But mm-hmm. later on, as they're leaving and everyone's cheering, the Statue of Liberty's laid over on its side in the distance. Like, you know how much... I was like, well, shouldn't they use the goo to put it back? Because you know how hard it's going to be to lift the Statue of Liberty? I think about
they're
shit like
to
that.
Disassemble it piece
but
by piece.
Also, how did it fall down like that in that position from where it was leaning over the building? Just that stuff like that.
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah, you're getting into the minutiae
of
also, it.
And also, Ivan Reitman shot Ghostbusters like a comedy, you know, like any other comedy, like Kindergarten Cop or whatever, when he should have shot it like the kind of movie it is, which is a summer kind of blockbuster type of kind of fun.
Ivan Reitman doesn't have that ability.
It's maybe
he's just not a very Ivan Reitman is not a good director.
Well, he's a comedy director, you know, but
even as a comedy director, it's so bland. I mean, he did that movie with Luke Wilson and her name's blanking. The bride from Uma Thurman. Called My Secret Ex, or My Superhero Ex-Girlfriend or something.
My Super Ex-Girlfriend, yeah.
And it was just freaking bland and...
Yeah, well, I mean, he's been in some really good spots when he's directed some films. You know,
I think he's benefited more from being a friend to people than actually having the talent.
He's benefited from having the right cast and the right writers and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ghostbusters, I wanted to talk about this in their entertainment segment when we saw Ghostbusters. So I'll just save that. But yeah, Ghostbusters 2, I think that we do forgive it for a lot of its problems, but I don't think it's a very good film. I think it's feels rushed. You know what I mean?
Well, also in the, like, normally whenever you go to a second film, the stakes are raised, and their idea of raising the stakes was not using the proton pack, but the like plasma gun. It was just what you're going with.
You know what? Let's go ahead and do entertainment because that was our last voicemail. Ken and Adam, thank you guys so much. Let's do entertainment. Woo-hoo! I love entertainment. It's very entertaining.
I'm so entertained.
Now, Bill, I saw Ghostbusters in the theater recently.
As did I.
And the one thing that I'll say right away I noticed, it is very grainy, but I got used to it as the film went on.
Oh, yeah. You that opening title screen, like, it's just like, whoa, grain.
Hello, grain. Yeah, it does get better. And there is the movie is still funny, still funny. It cracks me up. The effects, whoa. There's that part with the establishing shot of a gargoyle looking down at the street. Did you notice you could see through the gargoyle?
Yeah.
It was like transparent.
The mat work isn't the best.
Yeah. And I was like, leaned over to Steven and go, the good old days of mat paintings. Didn't you love it? And those things could be gorgeous, but yeah, the effects, let's not even talk about the effects. It was a different time, you know?
It was a different time, and that's one of those movies that I probably wouldn't mind if they went back and, you know, jiggered with the effects, but I don't think the source is very clean.
Well, when the dog is running the stop motion animation, yeah. But that doesn't matter. It's not that kind of film where you nitpick effects. Come on.
No, it isn't. Know?
Was that Industrial Light and Magic at the time?
I have no idea. I don't know who did the effects for it.
Let's just say the effects are aged a bit.
A bit. Just a little. It's like a fine wine that is gone to vinegar.
But I would say we all watched it with grins on our faces because we love Ghostbusters.
I was watching it on the big screen. I mean, come on. You don't get... And in 4K.
And
it was great.
When Ken was talking about it, it kind of drags... When they leave the mayor's office and go to the building, wow, do they really just kind of stretch the time of them driving in the car and arriving and getting out? And the people are like, Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
wow.
There's some serious padding.
Yeah, that's some padding there. And then the ground and they fall under and then they come out. They're like, we're okay. And then they go up the building. It's like that scene, it almost felt like, guys, the movie's like... 60 minutes long. We gotta add the sequence in here or something. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it is. It's, they probably could have worked a little harder, you know, to keep the tension and not resorted to that sort of stuff. But again, it's forgivable.
Right. Yeah. It's a fun movie, and everyone, you should, if you have a chance and you're a fan of the movie, go see it in the theater.
But come on, it's like you said, the Lewis stuff, when he's become the, Keymaster, and just the lines whenever he's in there with Egon, and, you know, I always do the thing like, would you like some coffee? Yes, have some. You know, yes, have some.
I love and when he's like, yeah, I get a write-off on this, and this is smoked salmon. I got it on special. And, you know, he's telling everybody about all the money he saved.
Yeah, he's like, who's your attorney? Who's, you know, just, it's just really, he's so good. Martin, why is my mind running so slow? Why? I can't think of his name.
Lewis?
Yeah.
Vince Clortho?
No, Rick Moranis. Floor. Jesus. Rick Moranis is just, that's one of those movies that it's all about him. He's so good in it.
He really is fantastic.
The Traveler came as a large and moving tour.
He did, everything about him is funny. Like, I always love that scene where the dog thing is chasing him and he's banging on the restaurant window. He's like, oh, God. And he's dragging away and everyone in the restaurant's looking. And then as he's gone, they just go back to what they're doing. They don't care at all.
That's a great New York scene.
Many Shubs and Zools knew what it was to be roasted in the depths of the floor that day, I can tell you.
he's great part of the movie. And of course, Bill Murray also. And the reactions of, Egon's great facial expressions and stuff like that. It's just a fun movie.
It is. I'm glad that I got to see it that way.
I don't think there's anything coming out anytime soon that I'm real excited about.
No, not. I keep looking. Like, I'll always check what's coming up, but it's like this weekend the big thing is one of those faith-based movies, this thing called The Identical. I don't know what that is.
Oh, when I first saw the commercial of that, I thought it was some kind of Elvis movie, like about his life, but it's not. It's like a fictional musician, right? Or something?
I think it's Elvis Presley.
It is? I'm so confused by it.
It's a story based on the life of Elvis Presley and his brother who died in childbirth.
Okay, because the guy looks just like Elvis. This is the funniest thing. I saw the trailer before Ghostbusters, okay? You may have also. And I was like, oh, it's an Elvis movie. They never mention the name Elvis at all in the trailer.
They probably can't.
So when it was over and I go, oh, it's not an Elvis movie. It's just the guy looks a lot like Elvis and that's it. So yeah. I was like really confused. That's not a way to advertise your movie.
I think that they're advertising to more church groups, and that's what they're looking for, because it's from the same people that did God's Not Dead. And,
oh, wow, they're really cranking those movies out.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, they got Ray Liotta and Ashley Judd, and I think Seth Green's in it.
Wow. Yeah. Man, I just... There's no Elvis mentioned in there. I was so confused.
That's really bothering you.
Yeah, it really, really was.
And I think they're doing...
Do you want to go?
This is the weekend of the 20th anniversary of Forrest Gump, so they're putting it in IMAX.
Oh, good. Are you going to go see it?
No. I mean, I saw that movie probably like 10, 12 times in high school, so I know it enough that I don't need to go see it again in IMAX. If I was going to go see something, I would rather go see Guardians of the Galaxy again or something.
All right. Well, Bill, what do you say we get into some TV shows? Because that's it with the movies. Oh, wait. I wanted to mention, I read about this movie a while ago, and I was on Netflix earlier today, and I was just, you know how sometimes you're just flicking through it, and like, you go through the menu for so long, you realize like, I'm not going to watch anything. But all of a sudden, this movie popped up that I wanted to see a year ago called The Machine. It's like this sci-fi movie involving robots and artificial intelligence and stuff. And it plays it stars the blonde girl from Arrow on the CW.
Okay.
She plays, like, Oliver Queen's ex-love who you thought was dead, and she returns and whatever. So she's in the movie. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this. You know, it was like 9:30 a.m., Bill. Like, I don't need to start working on the show yet. So I started watching it, and I was like, I'll give it like 10 minutes. If I'm not hooked into it, I'll turn it off and start working on the show. But before you know it, I'm watching the whole movie, right? And
so I'm taking it was entertaining or interesting at least?
First of all, like, it establishes that it's very violent and bleak right away. But it didn't turn me off. It just caught me in the right mood to watch bloody stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Living in a bleak, futuristic America that's in a Cold War with China. And the military is trying to develop a convincing artificial human to infiltrate China, right? So they have this very, like... The leading guy in artificial intelligence who's working on it. And the only reason he's even working on it is because of his daughter. He needs to help her. She has brain problems. And he's basically using the military to do the work that he needs on his daughter in exchange for also working on their weapon, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's very interesting, and when the actress, the main girl, comes into it, I think she's very good. And when they introduce the robot, basically, the machine.
The machine.
She is fantastic as the machine, you know, and you feel for her immediately, and you know, when the way they portray when you first develop an artificial intelligence, they want to learn and they want to know about things. They're like a child. And here's this one guy who's a scientist who is worried about his daughter, almost kind of like a parallel between his daughter and the machine. And then the military who are like, okay, we need her to learn how to kill people and snap necks and stuff. So it's like, you don't want it corrupted. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, I don't know. You should check it out. The Machine. It's on Netflix.
I will.
Tell me what you think.
Sounds good.
Yeah. If you like bleak stuff also. It's, So, Bill, you want to... Let's check out what's on our TiVo, okay?
All right.
All right, let's do it. What's on our TiVo? Whee! Ah, yes. What's on our TiVo this week, Bill?
Take a pick!
Excuse me? Now, Bill, I watched Pawn Stars again. I tried to find a recent episode. Like Ken said, that the most recent episode ended. But I found some stuff that I thought was entertaining in this episode.
All right.
And in this clip I have, a man brings up a necklace. It's like costume jewelry from I Love Lucy. And, you know, it's just like, it kind of reminds me, I've watched Comic Book Men on AMC where, you know, you bring it up and they go, oh, look at this. And then it tells you about the object and who it's about. So automatically Rick tells you all about Lucille Ball and, that kind of stuff. But also I love his smoker's laugh, Bill. I just can't get over it.
Every week.
And I notice it all the time now, and I'm like, I hope he's quit smoking. Or does he smoke a cigarette occasionally outside in scenes?
I don't know.
Let's check this out.
How's it going?
I'm good.
And what is this, besides a picture of Lucille Ball?
Well, I'm hoping it's a necklace that belonged to Lucille Ball.
All right, this is cool. I like this. I mean, who doesn't like Lucy? I mean, I love Lucy.
Watching I Love Lucy from the time I was a kid brings back a lot of memories. Along with the necklace, I have a picture of her actually wearing it, plus I have a certificate of authenticity. I'm hoping to get some pretty decent cash for this costume jewelry today. Lucy, I'm home.
Lucille Ball. I mean, she started in movies in like the 30s, and then early 50s, she started I Love Lucy. It was just an amazing hit. This has been shown in just about every country in the world. I can't imagine how many languages it's been translated into.
I can remember watching it in the 50s. In my neighborhood, there were probably only two TVs, one in our house and one down the street.
A little before me.
Yeah.
Not before me. Oh, shut up.
Everyone remembers Lucille Ball from I Love Lucy. But behind the scenes, she was a big Hollywood star with a lot of power. Her and Desi Arnaz not only produced I Love Lucy, but they also produced Star Trek and The Andy Griffith Show. It's sort of bizarre to think that without Lucy, there would be no Trekkies. Guarantees that the FOD
Strand
Pearl Necklace was owned and worn by Lucille Ball. This has got to be like the cheapest certificate of authenticity I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he literally printed this on his computer at home.
At least he bought a foil and stuck on the end of it.
I believe it because there's enough here that tells me it's legit. Now, what do you want to do with it?
I'd like to sell it.
All right.
Now, here's the big question. How much?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe 500.
Ouch.
Give me $300 for it. $300, that's more than fair.
400.
Go 350.
I'll give you 3 1/4. I'm not going to go any more.
Well, that was going to be my next number, so it works for me.
Okay. All right, I'll meet you right up front.
Okay.
Keep an eye on it, Pops.
325 was a little less than what I was hoping for, but I'm happy with it. That's okay. Now I've got the bug. Now I go back and start moving some other stuff and see if I can get rid of some other things.
Wow. Do you think he's one of those hoarders? He's got a bunch of crap in his garage.
He probably does, yeah.
Hey, did you notice what Rick called Star Trek?
Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Star Trek. I love that. Star Trek.
Star Trek?
You know, one thing when I was a kid, Lucy, my grandparents watch it. I thought for the longest time her name was Lucy O. Ball.
Lucy O. Ball. So she's Irish?
Yeah, Lucy O. Ball.
Well, she does have red hair.
Think about the way people say her name really fast. Lucy O. Ball. Lucy O. Ball. And you're like, Lucy O. Ball. That's what I thought, man.
I've never picked up on that, but
that's
possible.
I had a lot of problems when I was younger, the way people say things quickly.
Well, it's your right ear. It's sensitive.
No, it's not, damn it. No, but it was like.
I thought your right ear was sensitive, not you.
I thought, no, I'm sensitive. Yes.
Oh, okay. You're sensitive about the sensitivity.
Next door, I always thought people were saying next door, and there's no store next to the house. I didn't understand it for the longest time. It's because people talk too quickly. Don't you? You know what I mean?
Well, I know I can't understand Spanish because they talk too quickly, but English, I'm okay.
Next door. Come on, Lucy O'Ball, Bill. Lucy O'Ball.
I wish I could empathize, but I have no idea what you're getting at.
Star Trek?
Did you ever call it Star Trek?
No, I've never in my life.
Oh, come on. No, I never called it that either.
Trackers.
Does anyone else think her... Did anyone else think her name was Lucy O. Ball, too?
No!
Pardon? Space Trek?
All right, let's just move on, because I'm feeling really bad now.
You shouldn't feel bad. You were a creative child.
I was very young, Bill. I was like 5 or something.
You were like a child genius who could hear things that weren't there.
No, it's like Pensacola, Florida. I thought it was Pepsi Cola, Florida. Things like that.
I wish it was Pepsi Cola, Florida.
I wasn't very worldly back then.
Well, that's true, because you had the whole, like, the Hojo thing, right?
The Hojo Howard Jones thing.
Yes, the Howard Johnson. You stayed at Howard Johnson's.
Like to get to know you well. The Joho thing, you know, kind of very, what do you call it? Very
sheltered?
Sheltered. Not allowed to. No, I was allowed to watch things. I don't know what it was. Maybe I was just stupid. Oh, I was stupid.
You weren't strong in this one.
Well, Bill, let's move on to MasterChef. What do you say?
Let's talk about MasterChef.
I'm sorry, what?
MasterChef.
Oh, you're saying it too fast. It sounds like you're saying MasterChef.
It's MasterChef.
Oh, okay. Just checking. Now, they did the restaurant thing where they bring them to a restaurant and then they mess it up for the owner for a couple hours, right?
Yeah, that would, you imagine, I wonder how much they pay the owner. of those joints. Like, we're going to bring a bunch of slightly reject cooks into your place for couple hours.
Gordon brings a lot of respect to the table, and they're like, sure, Gordon, I'll do it. And they're like,
which he immediately burns off afterwards. It's like alcohol in a dish.
I think it's funny that Leslie is one of the leaders, and I was like, oh, no, because he was a disaster last time.
He's such an asshole.
But this time he's like, I'm not going to let it happen again. So as soon as Cutter starts talking, he's like, no, no, Cutter. And he, like, gets in his face. It's hilarious how pissed Gordon gets at them, and he's, like, yelling at him. And he's like, he looks like he's in Hell's Kitchen, doesn't he? The way he's going, come here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so funny. I laugh at Elizabeth because I've never seen Chef Ramsay this angry before. And I was like, we've seen him this angry all the time. Does she not? She must not watch Hell's Kitchen, right?
No.
All right, let's check this out and see Leslie and Cutter fight and Gordon get pissed off.
Welcome, everybody, to the Cavatina restaurant at the Sunset Marquee Hotel. This is the MasterChef restaurant takeover.
Oh, here at this place? This is like elite of the elite.
Jamie and
Leslie.
Oh,
you have no idea what he's talking
about. Since you both won the winning team in that amazing tag team dim sum challenge, you will both be team captains tonight.
The last time I was a team captain, it was a nightmare. So going into this, I want to make sure I'm a winner tonight. So there's going to be nothing stopping me. I'm going to take care of the mussels. Maybe you can help me with the mushrooms. I'm searing the steaks. Listen, you can make all the faces you want. I'm making the steaks. She's going to be the final plater because she has the better idea. No. Listen, do me a favor. Are you the captain or am I the captain? So please, stop now.
I'll make this
stop
now. Smoothly, though.
I understand. No, I'm not going to listen to you because you're not the captain. That's what this is for, okay?
I'm the captain. You're the
see
first
that patch
mate.
There? It's on my arm. Doesn't say Team Cutter. I'm in charge. I have the final Cutter. Word. Let's just get the job done. You're burning that. You're burning that. I got the mushrooms. I got this,
Mr. Leslie. Can't you pull me off of something, okay?
I got it.
I think Leslie is so egotistical. No, get out of the way, Cutter. You're just all in the way.
Move.
He's an ex-beautician house bitch that works for his wife. So I think he's trying to, like, prove his manhood or something.
Give me those potatoes.
I got it, Cutter.
You can't have everything, okay?
Right now I got it. I am not going to let what happened the last time happen this time. I need you for a minute. Come with me. I am not losing control of my authority here. I don't want to hear any excuses. Just listen and do what I'm asking you to do. Look, I need you to look at me.
Make sure you
look at you. No, I need you to look at me.
Talk to me. Go on, let me talk to me.
I need you to look at me. Then I know you're listening.
I'm not your kid, okay? First of all, you need to chill out and be a team leader and quit doing everything. We're a team, okay? We're a team.
Okay. Come here. Come here. This is embarrassing.
This guy has just given me his restaurant.
I hear you, sir.
So we want you to focus on the job in hand. And that is a fully booked dining room and a fully booked restaurant.
Yes,
you put your aside for a minute and come back to this competition.
Yes, sir.
Now, shake hands, and we're going to go through this as a team.
Yes.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Sure. We'll get along.
Every team Leslie's been on, he's had an issue with somebody. He's a loser and he's a sad excuse of a man. So I just got to play his game and just get through
it.
Leslie, do you want some help?
No, I don't need help with the steak. Take care of the bass.
Let's get more steaks on. We can cook more than one order at a time.
Cutter, do me a favor. Shut up.
I've been in a restaurant.
All you're doing is yelling at me, trying to make
you won't listen to.
Come here.
Shut up.
Hey, you too. Come here.
I've never seen Chef Ramsay so seethingly angry. We're totally screwed.
We do come every here. Week. Let me show you something now. Come here, you. Out there is a fully booked restaurant, and I don't want them to hear you fighting and arguing. Do you understand? Now, look at me. I'll send you both home, and I'll get behind there, I swear to God, and I'll cook every dish on my own with Elizabeth, if you two don't get it together. I don't want it. One more argument from anybody. Let's differences aside, and focus on them.
Yes,
let's
chef.
Go. Got it? Let's
yes,
go.
Yes, chef. Right now, I need to just speak to Cutter in a nice way. And if Cutter
pronounce
doesn't behave himself
R.
and do what he's told, then I don't need him in the kitchen. He can go and sit in a corner like a baby.
You. Hey, you, come here. Hey, you, come here, you. You. Off out of here. Get out!
Oh, my God, it turned into Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy. The food they were making, though, looked really good. I really wanted some of that steak.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's like, I have such a hard time watching food shows anymore. I miss the love. Like, it's just, the love kind of disappeared. Like, I look at the food now and I don't drool anymore. It's so strange.
Right. It's more like, I get into the competition thing of MasterChef more than anything. But there's something about a nice steak that I'm like, oh yeah, I'd like some of that. You know what I mean? Jamie, she got eliminated this week, Bill. And the amuse-bouche, no, that's not what they did. What was it called? That
tower.
The
croquembouche.
Yeah, the croquembouche. And you know what's funny? It reminded me of that time when we watched that show, Chef Academy with that French guy. Do you remember that?
Oh, what the hell was his name?
Oh, what was that guy? But I remember
Jean-Philippe Renoir. I don't know.
Yeah, he showed them how to make one of those, croquembouche things. He made it from scratch right in front of them. He goes, I hope you've been paying attention because now you, oh, Chef Novelli.
Is it Jean-Philippe Novelli?
Focus.
Yes. Remember Focus. That guy? And he showed them how to make it. And what's funny, what it looks like to me is a bunch of donut holes stacked up in a pyramid.
Well, is it pâté choux that they use for that? I've never had one.
It's a, you know, it's a pastry filled with a filling.
It's pastry cream.
Right. And then the hard part is wrapping that crazy sugar strands around it.
I think that's actually pretty easy because you just kind of wave the spoon around and develop the strands. Well, the hardest part is putting too much sugar on the croquembouche.
Yeah. It's not easy if you've never done it before.
No. Well, hell no.
What's funny is Christian, he was like, they were like, is everybody ready to go? And he was like, I guess. He was like, I'm screwed. But it was funny, Jamie had all this confidence, but she really just started rushing, and her whole thing was just stuck together.
Yeah, and the entire episode, I couldn't stop, because I really like her. She seems like such a sweetheart. She's Tina Belcher to me. And as the season has progressed, you notice maybe it was the stress brought it out, but there was something up with her voice. It was almost like there's an NPR host named Diane Rehm, who has this kind of Parkinson kind of voice feature. You know, it's kind of it's not a stuttering, but it almost sounds like Audrey, or is Katharine Hepburn that.
Right. Kind of your voice kind of quavers.
Quakers. Yeah. It started getting bad. And especially in this episode, I started to notice some tics. And just the way she was holding her hands, and then it was in her voice. So I started looking it up, and it turned out that she posted on Twitter that she was diagnosed with dystonia, and it's a neurological movement disorder during the taping of the show. And it can cause muscle contractions, twisting, almost kind of a cerebral palsy, but it also affects different parts. It can affect your voice and everything. So she's going through treatment, and it is, I wouldn't say it's 100% curable, but you can go under treatment that can reduce the symptoms of it. But I felt awful. I couldn't stop thinking about it through the entire episode.
Right. Did you notice, like, when she was eliminated, Gordon said, you live in an area where I have a restaurant and we could always use somebody like, he basically offered her a job.
Sure. I would too. She's fantastic.
And they even showed like a quick flashback of like her, you know, they do it whenever somebody's eliminated, they show different things of them winning or getting compliments, but they showed a clip of Gordon sitting on the ground with her and them just talking. And I have a feeling that he just really liked her. When he, you know, he just really liked her.
You can't not like her. The amount of love that she has in what she does and her personality. It's when I watch the show, she's the one person on MasterChef that I became attached to. Like I see her as like a little sister type of character. I just want to give her a hug and tell her everything's going to be okay. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's so weird.
And it drives me nuts that girl Courtney does everything so well.
Yeah, and she's just so arrogant about it.
I would say, I don't think she's going to win. I still think Elizabeth's going to win.
Yeah, there's no way in hell that she's going to win. But it's the fabulosity that Courtney has. she loves the whole heels and makeup and
yeah.
I'm just, so like, wonderful. It's grating. It's like, just, you can't, she's stop wearing, trying to be so perfect.
She's in a freaking brigade in a restaurant, you know, where it's hot as hell and she's got all this makeup on.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
My favorite.
She's not going to be wearing heels when on the line.
When Cutter and Leslie were yelling the whole time, they kept showing like that Elizabeth going like, like all her reactions in her face. Like, oh my goodness. It was pretty funny. Okay, Bill, I want to talk about one more show and then we're going to take a break. Okay. And it has nothing to do with Lucy O'Ball. Okay. I still feel really stupid about that. I never should.
Why? You shouldn't feel stupid about
it. I shouldn't have shared that information.
It's no different than whenever my sister would pronounce, Pacific specific. It's just, it's a child, you know, it's the way your child, like, mind absorbs information
specific?
And you kind of create something from it.
He's a loser and he's a sad excuse of a man.
Oh, hey!
I'm not going to debate that. Cutter is all-knowing.
Cutter!
Lucy, I'm home.
No, stop it. All right, Bill. Hotel. When Gordon arrives at this hotel, he finds out it's haunted. You know what the funniest thing about this, though, is when he shows up, there's this lady. She seems very nice. She goes, call me babe. And he goes, you are babe, but what's your real name? And she's like, what? Sometimes Gordon is operating on a different level than the other person. And they're just kind of like, what? What's going on? And he's like, you know, what time's, you know, check-in time's at 3. And he's like, well, I'm a little early. She goes, it's $10 each hour you check in early. He goes, so that'd be $40. How about I take a nap instead? So he goes and he lays down and covers up with a blanket and pretends like he's sleeping. And the lady was like, hello, Gordon? That's not appropriate.
Yeah, she reminded me of like an old school teacher or the librarian you were afraid of as a child.
It was just funny how he was confusing her so much. My favorite part is when he grabs the login book that has the credit card information, he runs out the door with it.
That was frightening. The fact that somebody calls to make a reservation and she writes it in the book and then she just keeps saying that it's house policy. It's like she's so structured that she can't deviate from that point. Like, this is what this is. You're not allowed to lose that. That's inappropriate.
Yeah, just like common sense would be like, don't leave credit card numbers laying around. And then, of course, she reveals to him that he's going to be staying in a haunted room. So let's check this out, Bill.
I'm on my way to Curtis House. It's Connecticut's oldest inn. I'm excited about it because it's supposed to be one of New England's historical gems. There's nothing wrong with being the oldest. Just depends how much Botox you've had.
The happy Mother's Day sign looks a bit crap, but I suppose it's the thought that counts.
Hi there.
Gordon, nice to see you.
Well, welcome to the Curtis House.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much.
And what's your first name?
Babe.
I don't know you're a babe, but what's your name?
Shirley.
Shirley. Nice to see you, my darling. So, it's Mother's Day. The restaurant's booked?
Yes.
Today's a big day, right?
Yes.
Is the hotel full?
Not tonight.
Oh. How many rooms are booked?
Just one.
Just one?
Yeah.
Just me?
Yes.
So I'm a little bit early.
Okay, usually check-in is 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
There's usually a $10 an hour fee.
That's
that
4 hours,
so
$40 already.
Yes.
So I could save a little bit of money by hanging out and actually going into the room.
Yes.
So I want to save myself $40.
Yes.
So if I just take a little nap.
What is he doing? Mr. Ramsey.
Mr. Ramsey.
Really not appropriate. Mr. Ramsey, Gordon, this isn't really appropriate.
I'm joking, but it doesn't make sense. You charge me $10 an hour. If I just hang out on the sofa, get a little blanket, I can save myself some money.
You know, this rule actually went into effect about 6 months ago, this $10 an hour.
Oh, really? Thing. And is it making a big impact on the business?
People don't like it. The bookings in the rooms have definitely gone downhill. I think they would be a lot busier if TJ didn't have these ridiculous rules.
Is that right? My details in here? Credit card details?
Yes, we take a credit card number to hold the room.
No, I appreciate that, but why put it in the book?
That's the house policy, and if the customer insists, then we can erase it once they check in.
I got the credit card details of everybody.
I will have to call 911.
Yeah, of just him. There's no one else there.
I don't really have to call 911, do I?
Babe, see, by the time you've called 911, okay, I've hacked into every credit card in this book.
Oh, good.
And left myself a fortune. So whose policy is this? A bit weird.
This is a house policy, wow. Like TJ likes it.
The owner?
Yes.
Would you not think there's a security breach there?
That's why her policy is no one to look in this book except the desk person.
Wow.
Oh.
Okay.
I can't believe you're going to be in room 16.
Why?
Because room 16 has a ghost in it. This woman told me who went to room 16. She said the ghost was pulling the blankets off her all night long.
And you haven't been drinking sherry?
No.
Wow.
Betty is a ghost at the Curtis house, and people do tell us that.
She's my best friend.
She's definitely there. Room 16.
A haunted room. My goodness me. Dead bugs? Oh, dear. Oh,
geez. It's haunted by the ghost of dead bugs.
Dismal. All my credit card details downstairs in that book. In such a vulnerable position. One of the busiest weekends ever for this hotel with Mother's Day. I'm the only one staying in the hotel. That's not good. Dust everywhere and a windowsill full of bugs. And I don't think I'm going to get possessed staying here. I think I'm going to get a disease. Right, go downstairs, have a look.
Babe, let me out. Honestly, it must be the bloody ghost. Come on, Betty, let me out. I just want to get some lunch.
He couldn't get out. It was the
Betty's
ghost.
Betty's protecting him.
And it turns out you have to use two hands to turn the doorknob. It wasn't a ghost at all, Bill. The funny
That happens sometimes.
When he does the remodel, he brings in a ghost person, whoever the hell they are, and she spends the night in there and says, yes, it's haunted. I just think it's hilarious. Like, oh, okay. And they get a plaque on the wall.
But how could you even tell? They put so much shit in there. They had, like, fiber optic lights.
Oh, I know. They just went overboard. But you know what the funniest thing is? The brother in there, he was the chef. Have you seen more filthy-looking clothes in your life?
Well, he was just slovenly.
I was wondering, when Gordon goes, okay, that's enough for today. Everybody come back fresh tomorrow morning, and I'll have a talk with you. They show up in the morning. His clothes are just trashed.
I could not stop looking at him drinking from a two-quart pitcher.
Yeah,
and it was just everything about it was wrong.
It looked like it had a whole lemon floating in it.
He had obviously given up on life at that point. It was embarrassing. I was embarrassed for him.
It's just so funny how his clothes were so stained. And
he was one gigantic stain.
And oh my God, I thought I almost puked when he got the fried calamari. It looked so nasty.
It looked like he fried garbage and put it on the plate.
Yeah. And it's so funny, like he's the brother and his sister, they're fighting so much. They don't get along. They don't hug. They don't even look at each other.
Oh, how dare they not hug?
And Gordon's like, come on. You've got to see what you're doing. Come on. And they're like,
hug your big sloppy brother.
And they're like, okay. And they hug and he's like, all right. And then his crew comes in. They remodel the place and everything's okay. I just can't believe everything doesn't fall apart.
No,
as soon as he leaves.
The moment he's gone, I can't help looking on Yelp after an episode to see if they're still around. Like last week we had the dog place and they're doing really well. It looks like they've turned that place around, but this place I couldn't find.
I will have to call 911.
Oh dear.
I liked at the end of the episode when he gave the European cheek kiss to Babe, and she turned like beet red.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my.
That's really not appropriate.
I've got feelings I haven't had in so long, Gordon. let's lay down on that inappropriate couch.
What is he doing?
I just thought it was funny, like they added that snore sound, you know, that... As he was laying down, what, Mr. Ramsey? That's not appropriate. It was so
Mr.
funny.
Mr. Ramsey, you have sleep apnea.
It's hilarious. That show cracks me up, though. I really love that Gordon narrates it. It makes it so much better. You know what I mean? Because he's having fun the whole time.
It's so less busy than Kitchen Nightmares.
Right.
And that has everything to do with him using the One Potato, Two Potato production company.
They're right.
Again, they're a little overboard with the music and cut back the stock music. I know you paid for it and you want to get your money's worth, but just, maybe lower the mix on it a little.
Recently, he said that's it for Kitchen Nightmares. But, honestly, a couple of years ago, he quit in the UK, Kitchen Nightmares.
Yeah. And that was the better version.
Right. And he said because he was tired of getting sued. Because he would go in there and try to help, and then they would end up bringing a lawsuit saying, you ruined my business or something. He's like, oh, it's not worth it. So, honestly, this show, Hotel Hell, is Kitchen Nightmares still, but it's a hotel, and he fixes the restaurant part also. We still have him trying horrible food at the restaurant all the time. The one thing that I think is interesting that I never knew before watching the show, apparently people go to hotels just to eat meals. Have you ever done that?
Never.
Like,
no, I can't say that.
Like, let's go to the Radisson and have dinner.
No, if I'm staying there.
Yeah, but what if you just live in town?
Oh, hell no.
Why do people do that? I don't understand. Yeah.
Well, sometimes there's a really good restaurant in the hotel just
right
here. They're trying to revitalize the area I live in, and they remodeled the hotel in downtown Newark, turned it into a Hilton, and there's a restaurant in it called Elements that's really kind of impressive. And I went there once and had dinner, but I don't go out of my way. I think it has more to do with a metropolitan area.
Right, probably. I bet you in downtown Dallas they have places like that.
Oh, absolutely. That's
Ritz.
I know there's a Gordon Ramsay has restaurants in hotels.
Yeah,
it's
like
just it's something that exists.
In Vegas, you see that a lot, where like some chef is now in the Caesar's Palace or something. I don't know. I couldn't think of anything.
Well, it's an anchor. It brings people into the hotel,
but
and once you're there, maybe you get a little sloppy drunk and get a room.
Yeah,
maybe
but
a date
place,
goes really well.
In these places, they're kind of run-down hotels, and I can't believe people show up there for dinner,
Well, if the hotel's run down, I'm not going to the restaurant in it.
Yeah. Hey, let's go get something to eat here at the Holiday Inn. Yeah, why not?
Hey, that Hojo is wonderful. I hear they have Jojos there.
I remember when we went down to San Antonio to go to SeaWorld. Bill, I know it's horrible.
How dare you go to SeaWorld? Do you ever see Blackfish?
I know. I haven't seen Blackfish. I don't mind, actually, capturing animals and putting
them in
tanks.
Don't you see their dorsal fin is bent over? That means they're sad.
I actually think that all animals should be in prison, so it's okay. But we stayed at the hotel. I can't remember which one it is. It's one of the main hotels, But there was a Sporting News Cafe there, and we would say, hey, let's go eat here, at different restaurants in town, but we'd be so tired when we get back from SeaWorld to be like, let's just go to the Sporting News Cafe again. We'd end up going there.
Were you informed with all the sporting news?
Yeah, there was like probably 20 different widescreen HD TVs,
Oh, okay.
I don't know why I said widescreen, like LCD TVs.
It's one of them newfangled widescreens.
All the CRTs were gone. They had all those fancy widescreen TVs with the high definition, Bill.
Ooh, do you have to wear them HD glasses
and
to
every
watch
single
that TV?
One of them was on ESPN News, the most worthless channel. It's like the same shit scrolling all day long. Well, Bill, what do you say we take a break? When we come back, we're going to talk about Top Chef Duels, but we're also going to talk about The Strain. I'm excited.
Yeah, it was a fantastic episode. I'm looking forward to talking about it.
All right, I can't wait. All right, everybody. Oh, my gosh. All right, All right, LaRusso. All right, everybody. We'll be right back.
Take a break!
Mommy, I feel great to
stains on the carpet.
That's okay. You must have stain-resistant carpets.
Uh-uh.
She uses Resolve Carpet Cleaner with DuPont Teflon. With Resolve, even grape juice comes out with ease. If you don't have stain-resistant carpet...
Mommy!
That's okay!
Get Resolve Carpet Cleaner.
Here's the latest addition to the Lysol spray family with a light, clean scent and all the power of Lysol spray. Lysol disinfectant spray, light scent.
At Hardee's, we don't use just any old fish for our fish sandwich. No, 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 no. To win you over, we go to the icy depths of the North Atlantic for whole fillets of moist, flaky fish on a multigrain bun. All because we never forget you can always go someplace else. Next time you're in the neighborhood... Why not drop in? Now get a fisherman's fillet sandwich and regular fries for only $1.99 at Hardee's.
Love Connection, weekdays at 3:30.
When it's time to sell your home, you want action.
And that's what you get with the Century 21 Action Warranty.
My personal promise of service, in writing.
The Century 21 Action Warranty. One more reason to come with us.
For complete details, call a participating office.
Come with us. Put your trust in number one.
You can see it in the way it looks. You can feel it in the way it drives. This is America's premier sports coupe, Grand Prix.
Get off your pony, I can ride it!
And now is a great time to check out Grand Prix with GMAC financing as low as 4.9% or up to $1,600 cash back on select Grand Prix for qualified first-time buyers.
We build excitement!
See your dealer for details today.
Here you go. You really know how to impress your clients, huh? I mean, who needs conference rooms when you can have this kind of togetherness? Hey, what are you guys doing? Training for submarine duty?
Who are you?
You should have stayed at Holiday Inn. They have everything you need for a perfect meeting, and they'll guarantee it. Or stay here, lose the account, your job, your house, your car, your dog. Check out 10 minutes.
Why take chances? Stay with someone you know. Holiday Inn.
What's behind the fresh taste of McDonald's buttermilk biscuits? People like spiked chickens. McDonald's breakfast tastes fresh because we roll out fresh biscuits every morning.
This is Epcot Center. Epcot Center at Walt Disney World in Florida.
Get ready for a new eye drop so refreshing you won't believe your eyes.
Wow.
Introducing new Visine Extra. Like regular Visine, it gets the red out, but it also gives you an extra medication that cools, soothes, moisturizes, and protects dry, irritated eyes. For an extra medication in a formula found in no other eye drop, get new Visine Extra. So refreshing.
You won't believe your eyes.
Chesapeake Bay Retrievers love the water.
Patsy Barber, top breeder of champion Chesapeake Bay Retrievers.
The most important thing is to produce a good, sound dog and a healthy dog. If you want them in excellent condition, you just have to give them the best food. My dogs love Pedigree meat. Mixing the Pedigree mealtime with the Pedigree is really excellent for the dogs. It makes them healthy. It makes them happy. It gives my dogs everything they need. Look at this guy right here. He's as solid as a rock.
Pedigree and Pedigree mealtime. Recommended by top breeders.
Bundy, it's the wildest Alf ever. When he bugs the place,
you'll
see a rancher.
It's an ant farm.
Go fuck.
A romancer.
Hey, come on, you love bugs.
And a de-ancer.
There are ants everywhere.
Hey. In a story that's an entrancer.
Bugs under glass.
On Alf, followed by an all-new Hogan family, Monday.
Everybody knows that milk's for babies. Charming, disarming, whatever they do. Everybody knows that. Milk's for babies. Wouldn't you know it, baby? Milk's for you. Soft baby skin, strong baby bones, a bright baby smile, and ooh, great muscle tone. Wouldn't you know it, baby? Milk's for you. It's a health kick, baby.
At Club Med, you can.
can challenge yourself any way you'd like. But there is one challenge you should take before you go. The Diet Pepsi Challenge. Not only will you see why more people prefer the taste of Diet Pepsi to Diet Coke, you'll also see how you could win a free trip to Club Med from Diet Pepsi. And challenge yourself any way you'd like. Enter at your challenge booth or Diet Pepsi display.
Keeping my vision healthy is one of my most important concerns. In my work, I do a lot of reading and writing, and I really depend on my contact lenses. I have a lot of hobbies, too, so sharp vision is especially vital to me. International Eye Care Center has always taken good care of my eyes. The exam is very thorough, the service is excellent, and the staff really cares about me.
Many people are making International Eye Care Center their first choice for professional vision care in Quincy, Jacksonville, Kirksville, and Columbia.
Richard, let's make a deal. You loan me your new Cutlass Supreme and I'll fill her up. Dad Olds gave me a year's supply of gasoline. Marilyn, $50 to use your new Tornado.
I got $1,500 back from Olds.
Sharon, need help financing your Cutlass Calais?
I got 4.9 financing. Sorry.
This is not your father's automobile.
Hey, kid.
You've just been caught knocking off the Kellogg's Cracklin' Oat Bran. How do you handle the consequences?
Did you eat all the Cracklin' Oat Bran?
Who, me?
Did you eat all the Cracklin' Oat Bran? Did you eat all the Cracklin' Oat Bran?
I didn't do it. I did not do it. No, absolutely not.
With the crunchy sweet taste of Kellogg's Cracklin' Oat Bran, an open box is an empty box.
There's seafood linguine with sauce. Of course, there's also lasagna with cheese. And what about turkey so tender? I surrender, but I gotta have a chicken enchilada with 37 Weight Watchers entrees. Choosing can be quite confusing. Pizza's a must on a regular crust or on French bread. Instead, spicy, creamy, chunky, crispy, zesty, meaty, crunchy, saucy, baked, or fried. I can't decide. I can't decide. Oh, what a delicious dilemma. Weight Watchers, this is living. The end.
I have a friend who says, if only I had such nice blonde hair, you can. She says, if only I had hair with such life, you can, with Preference by L'Oreal. Preference color is translucent with subtle shadings, and you do want your hair to be healthy looking. Well, that's the Preference difference. So, Angela, don't tell me you can't. Just repeat after me. I'm worth it. Feel better?
Performing Preference from L'Oreal.
He was a serial slayer who terrorized a city. Did they catch the right man?
And that's not it.
Solve an unsolved mystery. Then on Night Court...
Buddy is your real father.
Harry discovers his roots.
You were born in a mental institution.
And on My Two Dads, Nicole dreams of what life would be with only one dad and her mom. Special guest Emma Sands. Wednesday.
Wednesday on Nightingales, the girls let loose when Chris goes away for the weekend. It's a party Becky may live to regret. Nightingales, Wednesday.
There are bras that fit and bras that flatter. I'll settle for both.
My way is Hanes Her Way.
Hanes Her Way satin and lace bras. Come feel how good a pretty bra can fit.
My way is Hanes Her Way.
Fuss with shampoo and conditioner? Who needs it? I want to wash my hair and go. And now I can with Pert Plus. Complete shampoo plus complete conditioner in one bottle. Pert Plus leaves my hair clean, conditioned, and looking terrific. Before, to get results this good, I used shampoo and conditioner. No more. Now, with Pert Plus, I just wash and go.
Pert Plus. Shampoo plus complete conditioner in one.
Hi, gang. This is Bart Simpson. Now that I am a huge star...
Bart!
Now that we're all huge stars, the Simpsons are getting their own series premiering Sunday, January 14th on Fox.
Hey, you know that original Taco Bell taco for just 49 cents?
Oh, yeah!
That ain't all. Now they got tostadas for 49 cents. Brilliant burritos for 49 cents. Woo! Pintos of cheese for 49 cents. Soft shell tacos, too. 49 cents. Taco Bell make a run for the border.
We just want it. Tasty Teddy Grahams, just a bunch of bite-sized bears.
Those Teddy Grahams,
great.
wait to eat Graham Stacks, exploding with taste.
The Disco.
Lucy, I'm home.
Hey, Grandma!
I'm not leaving. I'm just going to take a piss.
Take a piss! Take a piss!
I had sushi tonight before the show, so that's quite appropriate. How was it? It was excellent.
Nice. Did you get the tuna?
I did get the tuna.
Excellent.
I asked about the worm thing, but he said I would throw up.
Yeah, I don't think you should try that. I liked when he goes, would I like that?
You want to throw up.
I love Defending Your Life.
Yeah, it's a funny movie.
That's such a great, I love Albert Brooks movies in general. Did you ever see it was so ahead of its time, Real Life? Where it's the reality show. He's the producer of a reality show and all the cameramen wear like these gigantic, like astronaut headsets just follow the family around. It's, Albert Brooks and, I'm blanking on his name. Charles Grodin.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you watch it now, and this is a movie that came out in the early 70s, I believe. Could be the late 70s. I'm not sure, but. It's just so, it's shocking how it applies to our nation or just the world's obsession with reality television now.
Right.
To a detriment to the people that appear on it. But it's funny and it's incredibly topical. You should check that out sometime.
You know,
Real Life.
I will. My dad always loved Albert Brooks. What's that film with him? And Julie Haggerty, where they sell everything and they buy an RV and they're just going to drive across the country live off their nest egg. We could look at IMDb, but that's a really funny movie too, if you've never seen that.
Yeah, and he wrote some great books. Even his movie that he did in, I think it was like 2005 or something, is called Looking for Comedy in the Muslim World.
Mm-hmm.
That was fantastic. But yeah, I'm a huge, huge Albert Brooks fan.
Yeah,
love
he's
him.
A talented guy. All right, Bill. I wanted to mention, speaking of reality shows, what is this show called Utopia on Fox?
I read it mentioned on Hamster Watch, which is the site that follows Big Brother. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it sounds intriguing. It's Fox's attempt at kind of a Big Brother, but set in kind of a village.
Yeah, it's not like in a house. They're actually outdoors and they're in a village where the cameras are outside and stuff.
Do you remember that show that they did with kids?
Yes.
It was like an old West town. It reminded me of that.
Kid Nation. Mm-hmm.
It was like Lord of the Flies. It was kind of disturbing.
It premieres this Sunday. I think I'm going to tag it and just watch it and see what it's like.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
All right, Bill, let's talk about Top Chef Duels.
Not watch it, so you're going to have to guide me.
Well, it's David Burke. You know who that is, right?
No.
Okay. David Burke, he's like, you would know him if you saw him.
Oh, yes. I just looked it up. Yes, I know David Burke.
Like, he was on Top Chef Masters, but he's like, apparently he's this well-respected guy. He's very inventive and stuff.
Yeah, he's a James Beard award winner.
And Takashi is the other guy. He was on Top Chef Masters, and you may know he had the great drop. This was the drop.
This is unbelievable.
Yes, that we love so much. He's a really sweet guy. You can tell he is. And he's really good at being very inventive. So it was David Burke and Takashi and versus each other, you know. And, of course, they have to have that wacky Bizarre Foods guy on there. What's his name?
Andrew Zimmern. You don't like him, do you?
Well, he looks like Curly Howard, you know, and he likes to eat fried bat wings and shit. It's
so
like,
you kind of have the irrational hatred for him that my mom has for William Shatner.
Well, it's not irrational. It's very rational. I don't want to watch a show where he eats gross shit.
But, I mean, it's, yeah, I can understand that. You don't want to see that. But it's more of, you know, showing what other people eat in other places, what's right. normal to them.
Yeah, I understand that. But I'd much rather watch that Adam guy eat some hoagies and stuff.
Or Guy Fieri. That's
Adam
off the chain.
Yeah, yeah. All the kids in the
one
pool.
Of my friends I was talking to, she went with a friend to Flavortown.
Oh, nice.
And took pictures of it on Instagram. And it's hilarious. It's like TGI Fridays, just mainlined heroin and puked all over the floor.
Did she like dip anything in donkey sauce?
That's what I asked. I said, did you get extra donkey sauce? And it's the best compliment she had for it was that the chicken wasn't dry.
This is unbelievable.
Well, okay, on this Top Chef build, just wait and see what Andrew Zimmerman has for them to cook. Let's check it out.
Welcome to Top Chef Duels. Well, you both know Gail Simmons.
Hi, Gail. How are you?
Great to see you.
And your guest judge for today, chef and culinary expert, Andrew Zimmerman.
Chefs.
Andrew.
I think today's duel between you guys is just going to be absolutely epic, and I think we're in for a real treat.
Andrew has traveled all over the world to try some of the most bizarre foods around. And he's brought some very interesting items for you guys to work with for the duel. You'll each create a three-course meal using one bizarre ingredient in each plate. For your first course, you must highlight sea squirts.
Huh?
Takashi looks petrified.
Sea squirts love baselines.
These are beautiful, fresh squirts. It's a pineapple squirt.
Looks like something from outer space, Andrew.
They have a covering on them, and then, of course, the mantle on the inside that's edible. Mishandled, they can taste quite ammoniated, but handled properly, one of my favorite foods in the whole world. And you know they have no external anus. They keep all their waste material in them for their entire lifetime.
Whoa. How delightful.
I can't wait to chat out on that one.
Takashi, have you come across them before?
Japan, we call hoya. But, unfortunately, I never cook with these guys.
What about you, David?
I've eaten them, but I haven't opened them. That's not breakfast. I mean,
I'm not eating anything called a squirt.
Taste. You know.
For your second course, you'll have to cook with armadillo.
I can't even look at them.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful animal and one of my favorite animals to eat and to cook. It's very much like a rabbit.
It's like a New York City rat with a shell on it. I know it's tough as nails. I can see just by looking at the thing. They walk on highways. I mean, how tender can the meat be?
Shall we make a boots?
Right.
Takashi, have you ever cooked with one of these?
First time I've seen that in my life.
It's the first time he's ever seen an armadillo.
For your third and final course, you must use black sapote.
Black sapote is also called a chocolate pudding fruit, but what's inside there is a deeply chocolatey, caramelly fruit that has a very unusual texture.
Has anyone cooked with these before?
No.
I have to say, I'm excited about all these ingredients.
Have you ever heard of that?
25 years.
Never in my life.
Cooked with any of the ingredients we're about to be working with.
The winner of the duel is Takashi. Congratulations.
Wait for it, Bill.
Chef David Berg, he's a superstar. So this is, you know, very, very special to me. That's unbelievable.
I was like, yes, he said it again.
I wonder if they baited him into saying it. I gotta say it. Takashi,
would you almost say, Takashi, that this is unbelievable? Yes, it's unbelievable. It's like, yes, gold. It's so funny.
Can you please say fried rice?
That would just be horrible. It would be like Richard Donner, Lethal Weapon 3 territory.
Oh, 4. Lethal Weapon 4.
Oh, yes, you're right. Lethal Weapon 3 did not
have
Asian
people. That was the fourth, or should you say the third mistake?
Yes. But their food actually looked really great and stuff. It was actually fun because they respected each other so much. There was no, like, smack talk or anything. And James Oslin was on board. He was there.
Oh, damn it.
James Oslin. Also, okay, David Burke lost, so he went to the Top Chef, whatever, Last Chance Kitchen, whatever. And he had to cook against Mike Isabella.
Please tell me he destroyed Isabella.
Mike Isabella beat him.
Are you kidding? You're joking, right?
No,
you're...
I'm not. Mike Isabella's like, I'm going all the way. And you know what the most annoying thing about it, though, is that girl, for some reason, Brooke, who is on one of the first episodes, after the Marcel episode, she got beat by Mike Isabella, but she's staying there for each round. So when she was with Stefan, when Stefan was there and cooked against Mike Isabella, she was there going, come on, Mike, come on, you can beat him. And he was like, oh, Stefan was like, shut up over there. And this time she was rooting for Mike Isabella again against David Burke. And I'm like, go home. Why are you, it seemed pathetic rooting for another chef, you know?
Go to your home. Don't you see that's your home?
Yeah, it was just
like.
Don't
you like your home?
Lucy, I'm home.
Exactly. So, but you know, I find the show very entertaining and stuff, but I'm
disappointed that I didn't see it.
Would you ever eat armadillo?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
It's weird. My whole philosophy on eating weird things is, this, Bill. If other stuff I do eat tastes better, why bother?
Yeah, you're not adventurous.
But if I was going to be a chef, I would try foods all over the world. I would. It would be a romantic kind of existence and stuff. If we were at a fancy restaurant and there was something like somebody would be willing to let me try or something, I would.
That's why I got Scotch eggs when we were at American Food and Beverage in Fort Worth.
Yeah, it's like I'm not fearful of it. I'll try it. But I'm not going to go out and try to find fried bat wings or anything. In fact, I'm pretty sure I never want to eat bat.
Really? I hear it's very tender and sweet.
Would you eat bat, Bill?
If I had to? I'm not going to push anything away. I will try anything once.
I'm just not sure because bats have rabies and I don't want to eat rabies.
What if they're farm-raised bats?
Okay, you're range free.
They're free range bats.
Free range bats. Okay, I'll take a bite of a bat. Ah, bats! Bats scare me too. They're creepy, aren't they?
I had a bat get in my house.
Holy shit, I think I would move.
I'd left the basement door open and I didn't realize that there was a bat. You know, under the deck there, and it got in, and it was like a scene out of The Great Outdoors.
Oh, and man.
I was running around with a fishing net and trying to get it. And then I realized, well, just try to corner it, you know, open all the doors. And it took me like an hour to get it out. But
Holy shit.
Last thought on my mind was I'm going to catch that and eat it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe
I would do that.
Steven is a liar. He is not stuck in Colorado. He's at the breeder show.
Yeah, I know. You know what? That's if there was a bat stupid. In my house, seriously, I would be like... I'd be like a Donald Duck with the fly in his house with a shotgun just going...
You would ruin everything in your house.
There'd be holes everywhere. I'd just be going crazy. There's a bat! Kill it!
You'd end up killing your dog.
Hey, sometimes there's, people get hurt.
It's collateral damage.
Collateral damage. Yes. All right, Bill, I want to talk about The Strain.
Okay.
And I'm going to go ahead and say it is the best episode so far.
Oh, easily.
This was just a rocking episode. It was awesome.
This is the episode we've all been waiting for, the episode where all the characters come together.
Yes, Vasily Fett. I love that his last name is Fett, first of all.
Like Boba Fett?
Yeah, first of all, the main characters, they decide, hey, we need UV lights to burn these bastards, right? So they break into this medical facility, and Vasily Vasily Fett. I don't know. Let's just call him Mr. Fett.
Mr. Fett.
The exterminator, he's already there taking all the lights because he figured that out himself, which I love. And finally he's like, okay, I'll split it with you. And as soon as they go outside, they're...
Hey, Boba Fett.
Well, remember they just shot Ike Horst, the Nazi guy? And apparently he can communicate with the Master, and the Master has sent reinforcements to find them. And they're at this convenience store, and it was just great the way they set it up, where they show they're at this convenience store, and they're like, "Hey, we better grab some supplies and grab some food and stuff while we can." So they go in there. Then all of a sudden, the Strigoi just start showing up one after the other, and I love how like nobody's really paying attention in the store, you know. And when Abraham starts cutting their heads off of the sword, the lady's like, "There's an old man with a sword out there.
He's lopping heads off."
And I didn't even notice it. You said Rick Baker is there standing in line.
Yeah.
And so I look for him in the second time I watched it.
Yeah, and he's the first one to get his blood drained.
Yeah. And just nobody will listen, you know, like, "I'm going to make a run for it," you know. But
then they realize that when the one person does make a run for it, they don't go after her because that's not who they're there for.
Right. And it was a really cool episode. And I loved Hassan, the guy he's in one of those bulletproof booths in the convenience store and he won't come out of it.
Well, that's because he's smart.
And he also wants to charge them for everything they're taking.
And I love that he's writing it down.
Yeah. He's made a list, but. It's really cool, and I love every time, first of all, Mr. Fett, he talks to Abraham, and do you see Abraham immediately, he's like, "Hey, I can work with this guy."
Yeah, I can use this guy. He's 6'8".
He's a big dude. He looks like he's really strong, and he's got a rebar, and he's just banging him in the head with
it. Yeah, I love the way the heads dent in on themselves.
Yeah, and whatever he asks of Abraham, and Abraham tells him, he just takes it as fact, where on the other hand, F questions everything Abraham says, and it drives him crazy. Like, he explains that they communicate through the Master and stuff, and I have kind of a highlight reel here, and then we'll talk about some other things. All right, let's check this out. And there's some awesome Strigoi sound effects in this episode.
Crunchies.
Yeah, let's check it out.
Oh my god. Crazy old man with a bloody sword.
What
is he speaking?
I don't know. Is it their last rites? I love his nail gun.
Unholy filth.
Nail gun, huh? Interesting.
What, you want some more?
Huh? Aim for their heads!
Forgive me!
Inside, now!
Hey, what the hell is going on? What are those things?
Strigoi, vampires.
He's kidding, right?
Does he look like he's kidding?
I need the rules. What kills these things, aside from direct sunlight?
The brainstem must be destroyed or severed from the spinal cord.
So beheading or rebar bashing. What about guns?
Lead rounds can maim them if they strike bone. Flesh wounds heal without pain. Only silver truly hurts them. They feel it.
Silver sword, silver bullet. And that nail gun that you have there? Aside from silver nails, what, standard issue?
From Home Depot.
A silly fact. It's good to know you.
Abraham Shrekian. Pleasure.
Right, listen, everybody, we need your help. We're doctors from the Centers for Disease Control. There's a plague that's spreading through New York City.
Is it a plague or is it vampires? Because he said vampires.
It's a transformative disease that makes people predatory and extremely dangerous. But we have an idea about how to get us all out of here tonight.
So are we stuck till morning?
We won't make it till morning. We won't even last another hour.
We won't?
Many more will be coming. Soon they'll swarm and overrun us.
They can communicate with each other now?
They are connected to the Master, who sees through every Strigoi eye.
He sees through them.
When will you decide to believe me?
Trying to rip off the HVAC unit and get into the venting. They're getting more lucid, aren't they?
In 1 month, they will be fully matured.
Like Eichhorst?
No, not like him. There are a few to whom the Master grants greater power. They retain parts of their former selves. Eichhorst is one of the chosen. Even among the Strigoi, there is a caste system.
No offense, but every time I talk to you, I come away feeling worse.
I love that he explained that, because we were just questioning that in the last episode. Like, why Eichhorst is intelligent and still had personality, and they were mindless. So apparently there's certain chosen that the Master chooses to have higher intelligence.
Yeah.
And the rest are just drones, basically.
Certain ones are his minions. I think there's a certain level of, like, ones that never evolve, and then you have the henchmen, and so it's really interesting. I love the way that maybe he decides which ones are mentally strong enough,
right?
The communication. Yeah.
And I notice, like, when there's times when Eichhorst has talked to other people where he's said, promise them a place. You've been chosen in the new order, like that billionaire guy who's very sick. So that guy's thinking he's going to be turned, but he's probably going to have a high level position. He's not going to be some lowly, mindless thing. Cause I wouldn't ever want to be one of those, you know?
Yeah, and that would suck.
The one thing that, I think we'll eventually realize, like, poor Jim Kent, you know, Sean Astin, he gets that little cut on the cheek, and you see that all it takes is that one little nick, and they get in your system, the little worms.
Yeah, and they instantly procreate or spread, whatever you want to call it.
It was like swimming around his face. Do you think it was just dropping eggs left and right, like all over his body?
Probably the moment it gets into the bloodstream, you're done.
And F, you know, cuts his face open and pulls it out, and they fry the thing, and he's like, all right, you're good. And then later on, he's talking to him, and you see it, like, another one crawling across his face, and they're like, oh, no. And then they pull up his shirt, and he's got, like, just thousands of them, and he's just screwed. And, you know, F is like, we can take you. We'll treat you with anti-parasitics. We'll, you know, he's just, like, trying to save him.
It's bugging the shit out of me that F hasn't quite accepted the fact that this is something beyond science.
Yeah, it's like, dude, he's screwed. And like when Sean Astin, he's like, release me, save my soul before I turn into one of those. He's like, no, we'll treat you, we'll get you to the hospital. And it's like, F, come on. And I'm hoping, like, after this episode, the one thing I liked is Mr. Fett, he shoots Sean Astin in the head, and he's like, you heard him himself. You heard what he said. He wanted to die.
Follow it. Just go along with it.
Yeah, F is like, why did you do that? And he goes, because you couldn't. You were just talking. We don't have time for this. And one thing is, those UV lamps, how impractical a design are those things? They're so clunky.
I've never seen a UV lamp like that. I don't know if it's a medical grade UV lamp, but yeah, I don't.
They need like a high beam flashlight, like one of those big metal rod kinds that have like 15D batteries in them.
I don't think they sell those.
And they could just be like,
but I'm getting what you're putting down, brother.
Yeah, just like a beam, a fierce beam of like UV that could just fry
concentrated sunlight.
Yeah. One thing I like that. Also, Fett, he's like asking him, like, where did you get that nail gun and stuff? He's like already saying, okay, the first thing I need to do is start an armory of weapons. That's what he's got in his head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And in the next episode, I want to see Abraham say, swing by my place. I'll load you up on some Manti Strigoi weapons.
They have a gigantic bandolier of nail guns.
Because I remember when he was in his shop, you could see swords hanging on the wall and stuff. It's like, here's a broadsword, take it.
I wonder if those are... Yeah, well, they don't have to necessarily be silver, right. I assume, as long as you can...
If you could chop
remove
their
the head
off.
From the body.
Yeah, silver would be good, though. And also, you know, like, I think... The more kind of shitty things get in the city, you don't have to hide your weapons. You can just walk around like it's the Old West or something, you know? But it was such a fun episode.
It really was. And you pointed me to some people that talked about it and how they said it was boring. I was just like, what show are these people watching?
I don't know. I think people are spoiled by stuff. And they worked humor into it, too, where it was funny. Like he kept calling the guy behind the counter Apu. And he was like, my name is Hassan. And Hassan, when they were all leaving, he goes, all right, Hassan, time to come out of there. You're coming with us. He goes, no, I'm going to stay here. And the friggin' vampires are falling from the ceiling. And he's like,
I don't think the ceiling is bulletproof.
I think he's screwed.
Yeah, Hassan is going to be Hassan Strigoi.
It would be hilarious if they showed the beginning of the next episode, it's daylight, and he finally walks out of there, and he's like, oh, my job is gone. Place is in shambles.
He leaves the IOU list behind.
But I love how they needed to get gas, I guess, to kind of pour gas out and create a fire barrier.
That was a hilarious touch. Whenever they give it to Vasily to get the gas, and he puts the card in, and he chooses the premium instead of the regular or anything else. It's not my card. I'll just take premium.
Well, I love the first thing F says. He goes, if you get bit or anything or one of those things inside you, I'll be the first to kill you. And he goes, that's the spirit. And then he goes, can somebody give me their credit card? I'm having a dispute with my credit card company. And he goes, why doesn't that surprise me? And so he puts in the credit card and he goes, what's the zip code? Yeah. And I was like, that's so true. You can't just slide your card and go. You have to now put the zip code.
And that's everywhere.
But you notice F also, when he's goes to get the keys from the guy on the ground, he puts a bullet in his head. I think
F is growing up.
Yeah, he knows, like,
before our eyes.
Once you get that, it's like, remember in that last episode when that one guy, he checks the girl and she has a cut on her wrist and he kills her. He says she's corrupted. All it takes is a friggin' nick. I'd be wearing, like, a Iron Man suit or something.
Chainmail.
Yeah, chainmail. They still get in through the chainmail, though. There's, like, weave in there. You need, like, an airtight
thing. Silver. Silver,
yeah,
chainmail.
Oh, so they go... as soon as they touch it.
Yep.
Dude, I was thinking this silver buckshot. Wouldn't that be cool?
Man, that'd be such a waste of good silver.
Maybe, you know, double hot buck to the head would still kill him anyway, but it would probably send the worm scattering everywhere.
You know what? I'm not... If I'm in an apocalyptic situation, I'm not going to waste my time with a ranged weapon. You have to go sword... axe,
well,
machete.
See, Vasily, Abraham has the right thing. He has the nail gun for when they're at a distance, and then they fall to their knees, and then he chops their head off. Yeah. So he's a good crippling weapon, you know?
Well, like he's had years of experience.
Right. So if you had a shotgun, you wouldn't even have to headshot him. Shoot him in the knees to get him to the ground, and then they go, shing, and chop their head off. We could even do it. I could be the shotgun guy, you'd be the sword guy. So I'd kneecap them, and then you chop their heads off.
Wait, why do I have to be the shotgun guy?
No, I'm the shotgun guy. You're the sword guy.
All right, I'll be the sword guy.
Yeah, it would be totally cool. And I'd have a backup sword, of course, or a machete or something. Because
I wouldn't go out with you if you didn't.
Right.
You need to have that shit.
Those are aliens. Those aren't Strigoi.
When will you decide to believe me?
Yeah, I believe you, Abraham. I believe everything. I love
maybe
when...
Maybe once you stop being the groundskeeper at Hogwarts.
Didn't you love when he was crawling up the pole, too? He's like the one taking out the electricity. And he's like, what is he doing? What are you going to do? And he's like, stop talking to me. I can't concentrate. He's trying to shoot him. Loved it. Love that show. I can't wait to see it.
It's fun. It is a fun show. It's like, I can't wait. Sunday nights, I have to... immediately access it before I go to bed.
And that's, you know, I kept seeing the commercials and I was like, I've got to watch this tonight because usually I watch it on Monday morning. And I was like, Heather, I'm going to watch The Strain. Do you mind? She was like, no, I'll just be here on my tablet while you're watching it. And by the end of it, she goes, this show's pretty cool. I'm going to start watching it with you. And I was like,
there you go.
Won her over. Because that was probably the most bloodshed from any episode, wouldn't you say?
Oh, easy. Easy, yeah.
And I love the sound effects of the Strigoi. And when he chops that one's head off, it's like, there's an old guy chopping. He's got a sword.
Splattery goodness.
I was like, what are those things? Strigoi. Vampires. Is he serious? Does he look like it? No, is he joking? No, he's like,
does he look like he's kidding?
It's like, I'm just kidding. They're just crazy druggies. All right, Bill, do you want to...
for that blue methamphetamine.
I did feel bad for Jim Kent, though. He kind of redeemed himself, and then he was just screwed.
Well, that's the, you know, that's part of the hero's journey.
Yeah.
Except his is over.
Yeah, his journey is now over. But that's when he was like, you guys got to kill me. No, 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 no. We're not going to kill you. You notice when I watched it the second time, I noticed Abraham is like, F, could I have a moment with you? You know, because he was going to say, your friend is toast. That's what he was going to tell him.
I'm sure it would have been a little more eloquent.
You must chop, you must sever your friend's head. Here's my sword. Chop his head off immediately. He's like, no, I'm going to treat him like a patient, you know, on an outpatient basis. I'll visit him daily. It's like, you don't understand.
Get your shit together, Ephraim. Your friend is dead.
Samwise is dead.
He you will know not be able to take the ring to Mount Doom.
I thought it was funny, like, I was calling him Samwise and amusing myself, but I read several, like, recaps of the show where everyone called him Samwise, and I was like, oh, man, I should have just been calling him Rudy this whole time.
Rudy, Mikey.
Yeah, Mikey from Goonies. And I was joking that he, if he would have had his inhaler, he would have been okay. Just go.
I can't remember what his name was in Toy Soldiers, but could have called him that.
Yeah, nobody would know that.
Is it a plague or is it vampires?
It's Strigoi. And you know, he's a son of a bitch in Game of Thrones, too.
Yeah, he's one of the... Shit.
He's the guy who... Name. He's the Red Wedding guy.
Yeah, he is.
He is, he's a fantastic actor. I love him in this. And I great can't wait character. To see more flashbacks too, because remember in the very first episode, he has a heart there and it's of his love.
Yeah. And he still talks to her and feeds her.
Right. So they haven't even established that yet. I wonder if that's gonna, I'm eating this stuff up. I love it.
You have to remember that this is three books.
What the hell is going on?
They're going to draw this out as long as they can.
All right, Bill, let's go ahead and do the news.
All right, let's do news.
Woo! Let's do the news!
That's unbelievable.
Yes, it is. All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
Something else that's unbelievable. Taco Bell has started their breakfasts all over the United States now. For a while, it was here. Oh, Central Ohio, for some reason, is a testing ground for new products for fast food. I guess because we're all lazy fat asses who want garbage food. So now, I noticed this the other day, they're testing a new item for the breakfast menu. What is the big menu item, do you think, at other fast food restaurants for breakfast?
Breakfast burritos.
No, they already have that. Like what, like McDonald's or, think outside of Texas.
breakfast. The Egg McMuffin, something like that?
Sort of, but I'm going for the biscuit.
Oh, okay, biscuit.
Biscuit is the big item, no matter
sausage what biscuits. Place.
Yeah, no matter where you go, there's going to be a biscuit on that
you
menu.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No. No shit. No shit biscuits. But this biscuit does look like shit. It is the biscuit taco.
What?
Yeah, taco made entirely of a biscuit, or just in the shape of a taco shell.
It's Hugh Hefner's breakfast.
Yes, a warm, flaky, golden brown biscuit that happens to be a taco. So
it
you're gonna
really
have
did overtake the taco for me.
Yeah, I'm sorry, James. I won't take the taco from you. The chicken with jalapeno honey biscuit taco.
Context of that taco.
And of course the James loves talking about tacos, but I don't understand why. I thought he was more of a sausage fan. This one is the you have the sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit taco, bacon, egg, and cheese. Basically, they're like, hey, let's put a taco-shaped biscuit and throw shit in it.
What does it look like?
It's like a V'd biscuit, you know, that they're just throwing shit in.
No external anus.
I don't think taco shells have digestive systems. At least I would hope not.
That's unbelievable.
It is.
Well, I'm more excited about breakfast burritos. That's my main vice, and I love them.
Oh, yeah. Breakfast burritos are delicious.
You know what's even better? A breakfast burrito, and I love – it doesn't have to, but I love if it has some bell pepper in it. But also, I love when they put in potatoes – hash browns, or even tater tots.
So you're going Sonic territory now.
Yes.
Because they have that beastly breakfast burrito with tots.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Tots.
Love that shit.
That's Napoleon Dynamite's favorite place to go because he can get tots.
Gonna eat your tots.
You want to take it off some sick jumps? Chickens have talons.
I love Napoleon.
So
it's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I wouldn't go to. I just have a real hang up on Taco Bell breakfast. So, if anybody wants to experience the biscuit taco, go for it.
What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Not eat it.
I'm willing to eat fast food breakfasts in several places, but Taco Bell, I don't want diarrhea.
That's a generalization.
You don't think I would get instant diarrhea eating Taco Bell breakfast?
No, I don't think so, because there's no beans. There's no real
diarrhea of the mouth. Full Tourette's.
Spicy items on that menu, I don't think. I think you'd have more of a chance getting diarrhea from Sonic.
No way, man. I keep that stuff down.
Oh, God, I hate Sonic. All right.
How could you hate Sonic?
I hate Sonic.
Sonic is so good.
Everything there, I think they put sugar in. I mean, even whenever you go past it, you just smell like the sugary, sugarness. It's so gross.
You burger punk!
Even their onion rings have like vanilla in them. I don't want my onion rings to taste like vanilla.
I remember when you were here, you mentioned that, and I was like, dude, I love their onion rings. I mean, I love also Whataburger's onion rings. You know who has the worst onion rings of any place on the planet?
Burger King.
Burger King. They have these tiny little shit rings.
They're not onion rings. They're onion puree rings.
They're horrible, and Burger King should be put in jail for those.
Burger King in general is horrible, and
no
to get into
anus.
Another news story, they are buying Tim Hortons to dodge U.S. taxes.
Yeah, what is this about? And how did they go about that?
They're acquiring Tim Hortons, and it's mainly to move their operations to Canada to dodge the taxes here.
And also, Tim Hortons is a donut place, right?
It's Tim Hortons Bake Shop, I think they call it.
So it's not just donuts. They serve other things.
It's coffee. It's coffee. Her it's donuts. Breakfast sandwiches. Like... But of all the things it is, it's gross. It's their coffee tastes like warmed over swamp water. It's,
anyone need a donut?
And their donuts are just.
I love swamp water.
Oh my God. It's so bad. It reminds me of coffee. They do this thing in New Orleans where they do the coffee with chicory root. And it kind of adds a certain flavor to it, but a lot of times it's to make the coffee go further. And that's what it tastes like. It's coffee with filler in it because coffee is expensive. It's just gross. I hate Tim Hortons coffee.
Oh, wow.
I will drive. You are filth. 5 miles further than a Tim Hortons just to get coffee from someplace that actually has...
Would you ever have, like, Dunkin' Donuts coffee?
No. I would go... No, I hate Dunkin' Donuts coffee, too.
Would
That's
you
the
ever
shocking
get coffee?
Thing about it. People go, oh, I love Dunkin' Donuts coffee to the point where they'll buy Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's like, do you actually drink... You're not drinking coffee. You're drinking shit.
What about... Will you ever, like, get a coffee at McDonald's in the morning?
No.
If you have to.
If I have to?
Yeah.
I have before. Yes. I have. But I won't enjoy it. I will enjoy it again. Well, I won't enjoy it. It's against my better judgment. But sometimes you just need caffeine.
Right, right. See, I'm not a coffee drinker. I never have been. And Heather has become more of a coffee drinker. So I make her coffee in the morning. But I make her mochas with, it's like coffee mixed with hot chocolate.
Sure, absolutely.
With cream.
I'll do that sometimes.
And she loves that.
Yeah, they complement one another well. All right, moving into China, a drunk Chinese man pretended to be the Man of Steel after being caught trespassing inside an apartment by the owner's little girl.
10 cc's of China White, speedballing with pure flake.
Wow, Johnny Depp.
That's unbelievable.
Hey, that's Japanese.
That's Japanese.
that's a very racist generalization. But when the girl asked him to prove his status as Superman, the drunk reportedly stripped down to his underpants and jumped from the 5th floor window.
1, 2, 3. Go ahead and eat it.
Eat, wow. What, eat the ground?
Did he die, or?
No, he suffered severe cuts and bruises landing on a nearby roof.
So he's not Superman?
No, apparently he is not Superman.
Superman.
A neighbor heard his cries of pain. He was rushed to the hospital before being arrested and charged with burglary.
Was he like, oh!
This was a mistake!
What the hell is going on?
I thought I was Superman!
I'm not Superman.
I don't get power from the Earth's yellow sun. Yeah, that was him hitting the ground.
Yeah, he's like, 20... up and away!
Yeah, it reminds me, do you remember the skit from In Living Color, Handyman, where he would just fall out the window?
Oh, yeah, didn't he make a movie of that? Or, no.
No.
No, he did, didn't he?
No.
Where he's like, he was a handicapped superhero?
Yeah, but it wasn't Handyman that he did.
Oh, it was Blank Man. Oh,
Blank
sorry.
Man.
That's really not appropriate.
Yeah, I don't think Handyman would fly.
I think people would pick it at the theater.
Yeah. Like, this is insensitive.
This is extremely insensitive.
So the 25-year-old faces up to 7 years in jail if convicted. Speaking from his hospital bed, he said he'd broken into what he thought was an empty fifth floor apartment after a heavy drinking session. As he settled down to sleep, he claimed he was stunned to find the owner's 10-year-old daughter had woken him up and was staring at him. He told her keep quiet and that he was really Superman and he'd be flying off to his secret headquarters shortly. She called his bluff and told him, if you're Superman, show me you can fly or I'll scream. So I had no choice, so I stripped down to my pants to look more like a superhero and went out the window. This is incredibly thought out for being drunk.
This isn't really appropriate.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be commended for the thought process.
Does he look like he's kidding?
No, apparently not. Rochester, Minnesota, coming back to America, Olmsted County, authorities have arrested a Goodhue woman who say they parked in the middle of the highway and bit a deputy.
Okay.
Sheriff's Deputy Kirby Long discovered a 29-year-old woman in a car stopped in the middle of the highway.
Was he like a little bald dude?
No. No. Yeah. Long says she was breaking objects with pliers and refused to roll down her window. So she's breaking objects in her own car?
Breaking objects with pliers.
The woman eventually moved to the shoulder of the highway. The officer broke the window to pull her out. She resisted arrest and bit the deputy's arm twice, drawing blood.
Probably a chupacabra bite.
Could be. Maybe she's a Strigoi.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this guy is done for. Long says she admitted to taking methamphetamine and could be charged for assaulting an officer. She was taken to a hospital. Yeah, I'm going to skip that story. I'm just not real into covering stories about people that beat other people to death. So thank you for expanding that headline for me, Fark.
I need you to look at me!
Yeah, I'm not going to do the story. The endoscopy clinic that Joan Rivers had her surgery at is now receiving death threats. So the people are sending death threats to the clinic itself, like they're going to kill the clinic.
I will have to call 911.
I'm going to kill you, inanimate building that holds people.
Wow.
I guess people really love Joan Rivers to the point where they're going to threaten death.
People don't know how to deal with loss, so they threaten people, I guess.
Insane people don't know how to deal with loss.
Right.
I hope you people die. You killed an icon is one of the threats.
Huh? Wow.
Did she die?
Whatever happened to her, was it under anesthesia?
Yeah, anytime you're doing any sort of throat surgery, you're close to those big main arteries and veins, so it's dangerous.
I remember it's so weird that my boss the frame store that I worked in, the craft store, Heather and I got married. When we got married, the week we did, you know, I had a week off for our honeymoon. I remember my boss called me into the office. And I was like, you wanted to see me? Because it was my last day of work before I was get married and go on my honeymoon. He said, don't get married. What are
Jesus
you doing?
Jesus Christ.
This is just like his sense of humor. But he was like, don't get married. You're making a huge mistake. And just laughed about it or whatever. And I go, sorry, I'm getting married. And he goes, all right. Well, don't say I didn't warn you. And he goes, I'm having hip surgery or whatever. But I should be back by the time you get back. So have a happy honeymoon or whatever. So I was like, okay. The day I returned back to work, like the following Monday, like 7 days later, everyone was like had their faces down and just weren't talking. You know, I expected people to say, hey, newlywed or something, but nobody was saying anything. And I walked in the frame shop and this lady I worked with, Carolyn, she was like, like crying. And I go, what would you say inappropriately in that moment? Like, who died?
Oh, no.
And our boss died. He was having hip surgery and he died under anesthesia.
That sucks.
Pretty crazy. So that last time I ever saw him, the last conversation is when he said, don't get married. Wow.
That was his last true advice to a person.
Yeah. He was quite a character, but wow, that was crazy. But yeah, apparently I think he even had sleep apnea.
And yeah, that's also incredibly dangerous. They actually have to have a respiratory person in the room to keep an eye on him whenever you're under any sort of anesthesia when you have sleep apnea.
I don't remember what happened, but I know the family wanted to sue and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I hope that they got money. I mean, that's why hospitals have, medical malpractice insurance.
And I wonder if we're going to find out something about the hospital that they did something wrong or they were negligent or something like that.
Did you ever find anything out?
About them? No.
All right. Okay, last story. We're going to go geeky. It's been announced that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to be playing Black Adam in the Shazam movie.
Nerd alert!
All right,
I was never a big Shazam guy.
You know what? I remember watching the show when I was a kid. There was a TV show built. It was so bad, but I watched it because, you know, I was a kid. But I really liked, there's a, it was on Netflix. There was a Shazam cartoon.
Yeah, I've seen that.
With Black Adam, and that
it's
dude
good.
Was, yeah, he was scary too, and it was a really good, thing. I wish I could remember what it was called, but it's very entertaining. If it's gonna be anything like that, it's gonna be cool.
Well, it's a Warner Brothers thing. It's DC, so they're gonna go.
Excuse me.
Their whole thing is dark. Like, they want to go dark. So I bet you it'll be pretty damn good. I'm
dark
hoping it'll
Shazam.
Be good. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to. Captain Marvel was never a.
Machete!
God, no.
I think The Rock would be good in that role. He seems like the right. He should be good being, like, insane. Super guy or whatever.
He's becoming a better and better actor. So I'm looking forward to it. I love these goofy, you know,
movies?
Comic book movies.
Oh,
all right. And that is news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week.
Star Trek?
No, there was no Star Trek in the news this week. Okay.
Maybe one day.
All right, Bill, what do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do them.
And let me just activate TRS-80 here because there's no Bill. I mean, there's no Bill. Because nope. There's no Steven here. Bill, are you here?
I am. I in spirit.
All right, TRS-80 is now active, Bill. And here we go. Let's do the DVDs.
Let's do the DVDs, let's do the DVDs, let's do the DVDs, DVDs, DVDs. DVDs, HD Blu-ray, standard definition. DVDs. Oh hell yeah, the DVDs everybody.
Nice. Doing with Emma's sock, baby. She walks up to me with one of Emma's socks in her mouth.
This is my sister's sock. And she, why do I have the sock? Take the sock from
what
me.
What exactly, what voice are you doing?
That's a baby voice. I'm baby doll.
What is he doing?
I sound like this. Hello,
it's kind
baby.
Of scaring me.
Hello.
It's like, what was that lady that had the sock puppet on her?
Oh, Lamb Chop.
You're doing Lamb Chop.
I'm doing Lamb Chop. I had no idea.
I had no idea I was able to do Lamb Chop.
I love, or it kind of reminds me of the voices like Mr. Rogers would do, the little like King Friday and stuff.
Oh, yes. And Prince, is it King Friday? Prince Fancy Pants. What the hell was that kid's name?
I just remember the trolley, the ding, ding.
I liked Lady Elaine. She was hot.
She was.
And Joe Negri. He was hot, too.
Excuse me?
Joe Negri. Wasn't that the guy that played the guitar?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will have to call 911.
I have a Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was Pittsburgh based, so yeah. Handyman, you know, Joe Negri was the guy.
I'm
that
pretty sure
guitar.
That it was a fictional neighborhood.
No, it was actually took place in the North Side.
It was all models, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's what Pittsburgh looks like. And it's actually really by King Friday.
When I was a little kid, I loved Mr. Rogers.
God, so did I.
I
still love Mr. Rogers.
All right, Bill, what HD Blu-ray standard definition are you doing this week?
We're doing HD Blu-ray standard definition for September 9th. But just on September 7th, Best Buy is doing one of those huge steelbook re-release sales. So you've got like G.I. Joe Retaliation, The Godfather 1 and 2, Jack Reacher, Minority Report, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, Saving Private Ryan, Star Trek, Trek Into Darkness, Top Gun, Transformers, Transformers Dark Star Moon, Trek. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, True Grit, War of the Worlds, and World War Z, all in exclusive steelbooks. So if you want, I always like the steelbooks because it concentrates on the poster art. And they're always, you know, they're not cluttered looking. I like
Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Cool. I want Star Trek in a steelbook.
Yeah, but I don't know if it includes the 3D version. It might just be the regular 2D. And normally these are single disc. They never include the extras.
Pardon me? Space Trek.
All right. So September 9th, 2014, starting off with The Addams Family. On Blu-ray, not the show, the movie.
Awesome.
Excuse me.
Yes, the original, was it 91 Addams Family with Raul Julia?
They do what they want to do. Live how they live.
Want to live. Say how they want to do what they want to do. Addams Family.
Addams Family. Oh my God, that was so bad.
That was one of the worst movie songs ever.
Yeah. The first one I enjoyed. It had cool camera work and the sweeping camera and all that stuff. And
It was a good looking movie. And it was a really creepy storyline too.
Barry Sonnenfeld directed it and he was like, wasn't he like the DP or whatever for,
DP.
Director of photography, Bill.
Oh, sorry.
Stay with me here. Oh my gosh.
You are filth.
So anyway, director of photography and the camera work. Oh, he was, wasn't he he used to be the director of photography for the Coen brothers. Am I right?
Yeah.
And his camera work is awesome in the first Addams Family. And it's very inventive and I love the look of it. It's very Tim Burton-ish because Bo Welch, who is the set designer for Tim Burton movies. And then the second movie came out, you know, it's like Ghostbusters 2. It's like, get another one out there because the people love it. Let's get, MC Hammer to do a song and it'll be great.
Genius. You know what this movie needs? God. MC Hammer.
Damn right. They do what they want to do. Live how they want to live. Something so... I can't remember.
Say how they want to say... Addams Family!
The worst part is when it goes, Addams Family! Oh, the worst part in that movie is when they show the Addams Family driving and Lurch is driving and you hear Lurch is playing the song. Like Lurch would listen to MC Hammer.
Lurch loves Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him. That's his favorite album ever. And I know this. It's a fact, Jack.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Let's get away from the Addams Family. It's depressing. No! Oh, my God!
This was actually made for a movie, though. Say what they want to say. No! Make it stop.
Yeah, you just gotta stop it. And what's even... that awful riff, he, like, talks. It's a talk song where he tells this story.
Right.
And it makes no sense. It's horrible.
We could rest easily knowing that he soon went bankrupt.
Yes, he bought gold fixtures for his home and Italian marble and
pet tigers and all sorts of shit.
He went full Michael Jackson.
Crap.
I'm kidding. I would never wish ill will on someone.
On Hammer?
Yeah.
He had started to get his parachute pants custom designed.
I would never hurt Hammer.
Yeah, please don't hurt Hammer.
Please, Hammer, don't hurt him.
I will have to call 911.
Okay, we'll stop.
Okay, next we have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the complete first season on Blu-ray.
Awesome!
Yeah. I lost interest and never got back into it. I just don't care.
I liked it. It got better and better as it went on, and it had a great finale. And I'm excited about season two.
That's good to hear. You know what? Maybe I'll start watching it now that the cinematic universe is different and all that stuff.
Honestly, it's a fun show. It's just trying to be fun and entertaining for the whole family, you know?
That's all it can try to be.
It's good comic book fun. It really is. All and right. I get a kick out of when they name drop someone from the Marvel Universe. It's cool.
All right. I'll go along with you. Next, we have The Amityville Horror on Blu-ray.
It's a hoax.
It's a hoax? No, it isn't. That guy killed his family.
We saw, oh my God, what movie was that? Before Sin City, there was a new Amityville Horror movie trailer.
No.
Yes, and the way it starts out, I wasn't sure what was going on, that all of a sudden you see those windows, and I was like, oh no! And it's like this family moves in, and their son is catatonic from something, and all of a sudden the evil starts taking over his body.
That's really too bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that sound scary, Bill?
It does. I'm terrified. Yeah, I remember listening to like Coast to Coast AM in the middle of the night, and he had those people on, the Lutzes or the Putzes, whatever the hell their names were. That was really awful. That was such a bad joke. I'm an asshole. And
this isn't really appropriate.
It just, I don't know. I couldn't buy into it. I had a really hard time with the,
it must be the bloody ghost.
But the movie scared the shit out of me as a kid.
I don't even think the first movie, the one with James Brolin, scared me.
Margot Kidder.
I think it was, the movie's a mess, really.
Oh, it's not a good movie. No.
The Ryan Reynolds one is way better.
Oh, shut up. Is it? Is it really? Hey, you can talk now. I apologize. I'm sorry.
I've never actually seen it. I was just making a joke.
Who was, who was the girl, the female lead in that? Was it Melissa George? Am I thinking of the wrong movie?
From Alias.
Okay, yeah, Melissa George. Okay, next we have the Apple Dumpling Gang, or Dumpling Gang on Blu-ray.
I love the Apple Dumpling Gang.
So do I.
Isn't
How can
it
you
dumpling?
Not love a Don Knotts, Bill Bixby movie?
Is it, Bill Bixby's in that?
Yeah, he's Tim the, Conway's in it the too, guy right? that gets the orphans.
Oh, okay. Is Tim Conway in it too?
Yeah, Tim Conway and I just don't know why I remember Bill Bixby. When I should remember Dorf. Dorf is in it.
I always remember it was like second grade. They were showing the Apple Dumpling Gang to the whole school. And apparently it cost a quarter to see the movie. I don't know why. Maybe they're trying to raise money for the school or whatever. And I guess I didn't know about it or I wasn't there the day before. So when I showed up, I didn't have a quarter. So I had to sit in an empty classroom by myself.
You should have panhandled outside the classroom.
I know. And I think eventually a teacher got me and said, you can come in there. And I saw like the last half of the movie.
Oh, well, that was nice of her.
Yeah. I think they realized
still, the fact that they made you sit outside the classroom, that was effed up.
Well, no, they were like in the assembly hall. I was in the classroom by myself.
Oh, so they were watching. Okay.
So they were like all like you could hear and stuff because, you know, it's a really funny movie.
That's evil.
Yeah.
That's really evil.
So when I think of that movie, it actually brings sadness.
Yeah, way to go, Bill. Next, we have a Twilight Time release. You know, these are the guys that do 3,000 of a movie, and then that's it. And it's La Bamba.
La Bamba. Good old Lou Diamond. Richard
Valens. Richie Valens, yep. Lou Diamond, or did Lou Bowl, Lou Diamond Phillips.
What did Lou Bowl do?
Joe Pantoliano, Issa Morales.
Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah, multiple times. In fact,
yeah. Did you bully?
When I first saw it, it opens with a plane crash or like a plane explosion in the sky. And I'd never been able to get that out of my head as a kid because I was afraid of everything.
Yeah.
We've been through my childhood, you know, fears, my irrational childhood fears.
Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper, they all died in that plane crash, right?
Yep, the day the music died.
Wow.
Yeah, but La Bamba's not a bad movie. It's not a good movie.
I've never actually seen it. And I've never seen Stand and Deliver either. You know, Lou Diamond Phillips' best work was Young Guns, is what I've always thought all these years.
Oh, I always thought it was Young Guns, too.
Yeah.
Looks a bit crap.
No. I don't like when Chavez dies and the spirit horse comes from him.
Yep.
Shot down in a blaze of glory.
That's another movie that has a horrible song for it.
You shut your mouth.
Oh, I didn't realize you were a Bon Jovi fan.
Oh. I'm more of a Bon Jovi fan.
I think, dude, that, oh man, I hated that song with a passion when that came out.
With a passion.
With a passion.
What is wrong with Baby?
She wants out.
Oh, okay. Do you want to let her out real quick?
Yeah, I guess so.
Go for it, dude.
Usually I have Steven here to do this for me.
Yeah.
Hey, go, you want to go? Wanna go walkies?
As if it walkies.
Alright, get out of here.
Oh, it's terrible.
No, seriously, you can't tell me you really like that Bon Jovi song, do you?
Dude, I don't love it, but I'm not gonna turn it off if it comes on. It's gonna make me smile.
I will have to call 911.
Yes, call 911 now.
Don't you judge me! All right, this next Blu-ray is kind of a big deal. A couple years ago, we finally got Big Trouble in Little China on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
But now, they're releasing the Icons Edition, the big, super special edition. What is on the Icons Edition? I have no idea. It doesn't list any of it.
I have one of those... You remember there was the DVD that had all sorts of extras on it? I bet it's like the same
stuff. Yes. Yeah, that DVD is awesome. I have to dig that out again. That was fantastic. But yeah, I bet you they're going to move all those over to this one.
That's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
I love Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, come on. David Lopan.
She has green eyes!
I only do eyes. Going Blade Runner there.
What the hell?
Yeah, this is in the commentary track on it with John Carpenter and Kurt Russell is one of the greatest things ever. And they do that.
Hot in here, is it just me?
When you get those two together, just greatness happens.
Yeah. They have fun commentaries. I've seen, I've watched that one, Escape from New York, I believe.
Yeah.
Aren't they on that together? And yeah, the one for The Thing is pretty funny, too.
Yeah, The Thing is great.
Huge buzz.
Yeah, but I'll definitely pick this up. I love this movie. This is one of my childhood favorites.
And also it has that great song by the Coupe de Villes.
Oh, yes, John Carpenter's band.
Big Trouble.
And Little China.
Yeah. It's a
great song.
All right, moving on. Yes.
And that's John Carpenter singing this song, too.
Yeah.
Just wait till you hear it, see.
Goddamn Renaissance man.
When I hear this music, I smile at this. See, this is a good movie song. Not that Bon Jovi stuff. Come on. He's so cheesy. I love it.
John Carpenter was a... Talented guy. He's a talented guy.
He looks like Death Warmed Over, though.
Hmm?
He looks like old Death Warmed Over.
Oh, God, does he ever.
Every time I see him, he has this friggin' lit cigarette.
And he's a hard-living man.
He needed to quit smoking, like, 50 years ago.
Yeah, he looks like he's been rode hard and put away wet. He's rough.
He looks like the Crypt Keeper. Exactly.
Alright, next we have Brick Mansions, the American remake of District B-13 with Paul Walker, one of his last films.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Paul Walker.
Rest in peace, Paul Walker.
Anytime
we mention Paul Walker, gotta say it. Running Scared, no, not the Billy Crystal, Gregory Hines film, but Running Scared, that too.
You should watch both of them.
Yeah, well, shine sweet freedom, shine the light on me.
Sweet freedom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sad. I have no desire to see the new Fast and Furious when it comes out. It just kind of bums me out. You know?
It's going to depress the hell out of me.
Yeah, they've been showing the sixth one, and I don't want to watch it. No.
It's too soon. It's so funny that an actor that was considered kind of subpar, he was really freaking talented. I mean, the guy had a certain charisma. He was getting better. He was the kind of guy that you knew was going to enter into his later life and become that more distinguished leading man. I just had that vibe about
it. It's kind of weird, like, well, Brandon Lee wasn't his biggest star, but like when he died making The Crow, you knew that. And then when The Crow came out, I really wanted to see it. I wasn't like bummed out where like, I'll never watch that movie. Cause I guess I wasn't that familiar with his work. I'd seen, Showdown in Little Tokyo and Rapid Fire. Neither one of them very good movies.
No.
But with Paul Walker, it like makes me sad where I don't want to watch the movies. But it's someone like Robin Williams, like, do you want to watch his old movies to remember him? You know, it's kind of weird the different feelings you get. Like, I really want to watch that Joan Rivers documentary now.
Yeah, but it's because those people have a huge legacy behind them, whereas Paul Walker was just getting started. And it's depressing because when you watch his films and you see his talent and those little moments where it clicks, and now we're never going to see any more of that.
Yeah, and the Fast and the Furious movies, they had a good thing going. They had a successful franchise, but you know he wanted to do other work that I'm pretty sure he would have done more important work as he aged.
Well, I know, you know, when he passed away, Wayne Kramer and him were talking about doing something. God, I wish I could remember what it was, but it was something where they wanted to do it early on, and Wayne Kramer said, no, we have to wait like 10 years. You need to get a little more grizzled. You need to get a little more experience. And when I read the article, I wish I could remember what film it was, but I was just like, oh my God, I wish I would have been able to see that.
Yeah.
So it's depressing. But yeah, whenever he passed away, I had to watch Wayne Kramer's Running Scared one more time and then just put it away, put it on the shelf for a long time. All right. The big release of the week is going to be Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Sweet.
And once again, we're going to get into the exclusivity horseshit. We've got the standard edition, you know, with just the 2D. Then you've got the Blu-ray 3D, but then you get into the Best Buy exclusive Steelbook. And then you get into the Walmart exclusive Falcon variant where it has the Falcon on the cover. Then you get into the Target exclusive that has a behind the lens featurette.
Okay.
And then you get into another Walmart exclusive.
I just want to watch the movie.
Yeah, I know. I hate these exclusives.
So
stop
take note,
it.
America. LeJuan made the boldest move that anyone could do.
What? I can't wait to see this again. I loved it.
Yeah, it's my second favorite Marvel film behind Guardians of the Galaxy.
God bless America.
And I can't wait to see the next one. I can't wait to see what they have in store.
Great action sequences in this too.
Yeah. And it was the first movie to actually give Samuel L. Jackson's Nick Fury a storyline.
Right. He finally had something to do. He could kick some ass. I mean, he did a little bit in The Avengers, but not much. You know, he shot one of his own planes with an RPG. And
yeah.
He didn't get to do much action. But in this, he got to kick some ass. It has a great car chase scene in it, too.
Yeah, it's very well done. Great. Who were the brothers that directed it? Was it the Hughes brothers?
Russo brothers.
Russo brothers, sorry. Yeah, and they're I think they're directing an episode of something.
Yeah, they've done some TV. I remember they did Community. And what's funny is I remember they did Community, and I heard that they were named to direct to Captain America, and it's kind of like, do what now?
Yeah. Oh, they're directing the first episode of the new season of Community.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that should be interesting. Next, we have The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes on Blu-ray, because everyone's been asking for it since 1969.
All right, more Kurt Russell.
More Kurt Russell. And, of course, the BBC has to capitalize on the new season of Doctor Who by releasing the first episode of the new season of Doctor Who on Blu-ray. That's Doctor Who, Deep Breath.
Who are you?
Are you watching?
He's the Doctor.
I know. I see a lot of people on Twitter and Facebook. Everyone loves this Doctor Who. I've never given it the time of day. I just have no idea what the hell.
Of the relaunch, I love the first season. The first season of Doctor Who of the new era with Christopher Eccleston is fantastic. I love it. Past that, not a huge fan. Yeah, Christopher Eccleston. He played Destro in the G.I. Joe movie.
Are you not watching these new episodes?
I'm not. I haven't watched Doctor Who in a while.
It's got that old guy as Doctor Who now.
Yeah, Peter Capaldi. Who is freaking fantastic in the thick of it and in the loop. He delivers swears like no other. He's fantastic. So
he's probably not swearing as Doctor Who, though.
No, he wouldn't.
Or he's just the Doctor. He's not Doctor Who.
He's the Doctor.
The Doctor.
The Doctor. All right. Next, we have a documentary from the maker of An Inconvenient Truth called Fed Up. And I believe Katie Couric was involved with this also. It's a it kind of gets into the American food industry. I think it's probably very similar to Food Inc. I haven't seen it, but I always like watching these documentaries about health.
Yeah.
You know, because that doesn't sound healthy. In fact, it doesn't sound good for your teeth. But yeah, I'll give it a watch. That sounds delicious.
There's the Tom Colicchio's wife did one, something at the table or something, and I need to watch that. I think it's on Netflix.
You know what you really need to watch?
What?
Our next release, 1987's Flowers in the Attic on Blu-ray.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No.
Really? Oh, God, this is one of those movies I had to watch over and over again. My sisters were obsessed with this movie. I hated it.
Doesn't it have fantastic incest in it?
Yes!
Fantastic incest.
Fantastic incest.
All right.
Yeah, it's the crazy, the dad dies, and then the mother takes her kids to live with the grandparents in a mansion, and they keep the kids in the attic. So, yeah, and I think they put arsenic on like cookies and to kill them. I don't remember it well, but I just do remember hating it because my sisters would not stop watching it.
This isn't really appropriate.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, I don't know what age I was, but I remember everyone had those friggin' books in their house. The V.C. Andrews books.
Yeah.
So it was a really popular
series of them.
Yeah, it was a popular series.
And yeah, everyone loves incest, covers
where it had creepy covers where there was a hole, you know, it looked one way, but you open the one, the cover and then they showed the real picture behind it.
Oh, like with the.
It showed just a face, but then you'd open up and it would show the whole body and whatever. And it was just, I don't really remember what the image was, but I remember like going, wow, this is scary. Ah. I'm creeped out.
All right. Okay.
Help!
My God, I don't want to read this book. I think you'd be a little creeped out by an incest storyline.
Yeah.
All right. Next Blu-ray is God's Pocket. This is one of the last films from Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh.
Yeah. Again, another one of those actors that passes away and you just kind of don't want to watch the rest of his stuff right away.
Another guy who went and died on us.
Yeah, why do you have to go and die on us? Heroin's a bastard.
Yeah.
But yeah, God's Pocket. Let's see here. When Mickey...
I only watch movies with people who are alive.
Oh, okay. Well, that's difficult. I think. It might be missing out on some good films there.
That's why I don't watch old movies. They're all dead!
Now, God's Pocket is notable because John Slattery directed it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who we all know is Roger Sterling from Mad Men.
Yes. And if anybody watched the excellent television show Ed, he was Dennis.
Just Dennis from Ed.
Dennis from Ed.
Are you strudeling me?
I will sing the praises of Ed to everyone.
Yep. Great show, not available anywhere.
Yeah, except a couple on YouTube.
Yeah, a couple on YouTube, and maybe it's airing in Canada. I don't know.
Yeah.
But apparently, they can't get the rights to even air it on Netflix in this day and age. It's ridiculous. They must have had the worst rights deal known to man.
It's pretty amazing. Maybe because they use so much music. I don't know.
I know, but there's like so many other shows that are on Netflix or Hulu or whatever. It just, I can't believe that there's not a way to get it on Netflix.
There absolutely is a way. You just replace the music with a temp track. I mean, because I know they did that for the first season of Supernatural. If you try to watch that on Netflix, all the music is different.
Yeah.
So there's a way to get it out there.
They're more savvy now where they get the rights, you know.
Yeah. It needs to happen. Needs to happen. Next we have Jennifer's Body on Blu-ray. Never saw it.
Remind me, is that the Megan Fox movie?
It is the Megan Fox movie where I believe she's a succubus.
Right. I never actually saw it either.
Yeah, neither did I. Here's a shocker from the past. Killer Clowns from Outer Space on Blu-ray.
Wow. Yep. That's a good one.
I wouldn't even go that far. I'd say it is what it is.
It's a ridiculous movie, but might as well just check it out for fun.
Yeah, if you've never seen it, might as well.
It's inventive, I guess, in the way the clowns kill people.
True. I will give it that.
Wait, I'm trying to remember. How did they kill him at the end? I'm trying to remember.
I thought they just left. No.
I remember you have to pop their noses and they die. You have to shoot them in the nose.
Oh.
The red clown noses.
Hit the nose.
Yes, exactly. That's George Lucas saw it and then he got the...
It's like, this is genius.
Good old George. He's very inventive.
Hey, hit the nose.
There we go. All right, moving on. We have Words and Pictures. This is a film with Clive Owen and Juliette Binoche about a English teacher and the new art teacher at an upscale prep school that kind of butt heads. But there's a high-spirited courtship that begins, and she finds herself enjoying the time she spends with him. I think it's just one of those really kind of charming, romantic movies. I liked it. I saw it.
Lost for words.
Saw it a couple weeks ago at the Wexner Center and enjoyed the shit out of it. So I would recommend a rental on it if you just kind of want to sit back, relax, and enjoy two great actors kind of play off of one another.
Words and Pictures.
Words and Pictures. You know, he's the word teacher. She's the picture teacher.
Oh.
And finally, the
Are
big
there explosions
release.
Explosions in it?
Well, no, there's no explosions. Maybe explosions of love.
Oh, okay.
This is probably, I mean, Captain America's a pretty big release, but this one kind of takes the cake for me. It's Young Frankenstein's 40th anniversary edition.
Excellent.
In 40 years. And I've enjoyed this movie my entire life.
Yep. Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. Roll in the hay.
That should look nice in black and white.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's got to look great. So I'm sure, I don't know if it I wish this site would list what's on it. I know we've had a prior release of it on Blu-ray.
Nice,
I think in 2008.
Mhm.
But I hope that they're that they're releasing some pretty good behind the scenes stuff for the 40th anniversary edition and not just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
But that's entirely possible. And that is DVDs and Blu-rays for this week.
Excellent. Sounds good.
This is like elite of the elite.
Yeah, you know it. All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week. Whee!
You're this quite well. Very
thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
Yes, you better, you think you better dial 911. All right, everyone, that was episode 302 of Entertainment Landfill. Thank you for joining us this evening. I'm sorry Steven couldn't be here. He had to work really hard and go to a concert of the Breeders, I guess. And, no, I'm kidding.
That actually might be work for some people.
He, you know, I think it was better. He had so much work to do that he needed to stay there instead of flying home. So I understand.
Hey, and he got to go to a good concert. I don't blame him. I'd ditch the show, too, if there was a good concert.
Sounds cool. If you would like to become a patron of the show, go to patreon.com/landfill. That would be awesome. You could support the show and give us a reason for showing up every Friday. We'd really appreciate it. We love enthusiasm for the show and any kind of feedback also.
And monetary donations don't hurt.
Not at all. And you could also join our fan club on Facebook, which would totally rock, man.
We are quite crazy on that there, the Facebook.
It'd be pretty sweet. Also, if you go to etlandfill.com, you can find our links for us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Bill, do you tweet quite a bit anymore?
You know what? I've been finding myself tweetering a little bit lately. Getting back into it.
Do the Instagram where it goes to Facebook and Twitter kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I do that a lot, but I've been posting some stuff on Twitter. I've been slacking on the Twitter, but I have a couple friends that have been using Twitter instead of Facebook lately. So I've been checking it more often. My main thing is I need to call my following list. It's any more, it takes forever to get through things. And it's just like, why am I following this person again? So I need to.
You know, I've been getting messages from on Mixlr from Natalie, talking. She's been sending little comments, and people don't see them in the chat room. Natalie, you should go to nimchat.com where people can talk to you there. But she was telling us to cover the Nick on Cinemax.
Oh yes,
I'm
Clive Owen
about
show.
It.
I want to see that.
Yeah, I love Clive Owen. Also, Steven Soderbergh directs every episode.
Oh no shit. That's news to me.
I just haven't had a chance to check it out, but I'm planning on binge watching it, honestly. I'm going to stack those episodes up and watch all of them.
I'll have to log into Cinemax Go. I don't think I've ever used Cinemax Go one time.
It should the HBO Go works pretty well on the DirecTV box, that is. That's how we watched like the first couple of seasons of Game of Thrones. And you know what I heard, actually? This made me think of this, that HBO has been remastering. I think you posted this on Facebook.
Yes!
HBO's remastering The Wire for HD.
Oh, my God.
Because I've always wanted to watch The Wire because it's the same guy who did Tremé, and I love Tremé.
Yeah,
and I know,
David Simon is a goddamn genius.
Yes, he is. And everybody talks about, you know, The Wire, one of the greatest shows ever. And I never watched it. So I was like, I watched the very first episode, and it's in stunning standard definition. And I was just kind of like bummed, like, oh man, in this day and age, why can't this be in HD? And I think DirecTV even at one point aired like a zoomed in version that everyone hated.
Yeah, it was before its time. I mean, this is,
yeah,
The Wire predates HBO and HD.
But I think they want to go open mat on it and show it in HD, which at least it won't be stretched or anything.
Well, I believe they actually filmed it. Like, this is before they would do the digital stuff. So they'll open up the frame on it, and
yeah,
it should look beautiful, hopefully.
I hope so. I'm going to watch it. Because I've been told for years it's fantastic.
Charlie Brooker, one of my favorite English satirists, did a special that people posted on YouTube all about the greatness of The Wire. And there are some pretty big people interviewed in that. I think even Peter Serafinowicz is one of the people that talk about how great it is.
Right. Yep. So I'll read every one of Alan Sepinwall's reviews of each episode as I watch it.
Don't do that.
Well, he actually covers a lot of the episodes, like, and I've actually done that as I've watched Chuck. Like, with each episode, I'll go and read his reviews. Sometimes it annoys the shit out of me, but I do it anyway. It's just like something
to
do. You're
a glutton for punishment, is what you are.
Because
I can't. I don't want to read someone else's opinion, especially someone who considers themselves a television expert.
Well, the funniest thing is how some people, like he does a lot, he tries to predict what's going to happen and how wrong he is, or how he thinks one little plot development is going to mean so much later that really it's not really that big a deal. But it's funny how you can like try to predict things and how wrong you are. I guess when you do reviews, you kind of put yourself out there for that, or recaps, I guess.
Yeah.
You like, especially like we talked about Lost and stuff. I'm sure we made a lot of ridiculous predictions and stuff, but
most of them correct though.
Yeah. I think Steven made the really bad ones.
Steven. Yeah. He's terrible. Remember, he doesn't have that oneness with the universe, that psychic connection.
Battlestar Galactica. He thought they were like Legos and pieced together, the Cylons, just so,
like the,
that?
Like the aliens in The World's End.
Right. Exactly. What was I talking about?
Ending the show.
So anyway, also, if you'd like to send us a voicemail like Adam and Ken, Adam, he sent it to our email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. And Ken, he called into our voicemail line.
Take a deep breath.
He dialed 1-206-309-4729. By the way, this is the longest our number for the voicemail has lasted, Bill, because we've been doing shows consistently and it stays active. 30 days.
You don't have to call it and keep it renewed or anything like that.
Right. I actually have been every week just in case. I'll like leave myself little messages like, hey, just keeping the voicemail active. Okay, bye. It's just to do that.
Hey,
you know, there was a time where like every show I had to like create a new one because it would always lapse.
Because we were only doing a show every month.
Yeah. So, guys, thank you so much. Bill, thank you for doing the show with me this evening.
You're quite welcome, sir.
And we'll miss Steven and think of what could have been if he would have been here. Oh, well. He's gone.
Don't get too emotional. It's okay.
Rick, it's not funny. Yeah. I'm going to go have a cigarette after the show with Rick.
With Rick?
We can go out back. Laugh it up. But guys, thank you so much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
Hey.
Yeah.
What are you doing? The Patreon people.
Oh, my God. You're right. You are correct, sir.
Dude,
Rick. Dude.
You got to play the romper room music and look through the mirror and see all the Patreons.
You're right. I'm very sorry. I want to apologize to everyone.
Dude, I'm not going to cave in. End of story, dude.
Dude.
I guess you've got a point there.
Basketball, such a bad, funny movie, isn't it?
It is.
Let me see. I'm going to look real quick if I can find Romper Room.
You know what? If they have romp, just the music, the isolated music on YouTube, that would be amazing, but I highly doubt they do.
They have the magic mirror.
You have a good day today, friends.
Oh, don't you love when it's left channel only?
Oh.
I had a Superman day. You had a Superman day? Well, I'm glad you're here.
That's the best freaking day I've ever heard of.
Oh, it sounds so bad. Wow, that sounds so low. That's what I love about YouTube.
Yeah, there's no consistent quality on
YouTube. Get to say my magic words now so that I can see you.
Oh, here we go.
Romper bompers, domper boos. Tell me, do.
Oh my God, I'm having damn flashbacks.
I was
hypnotized.
Hey, there's John John and Dawn, Lon, Melinda, and Phil. I see Margie and Neely. There's Patricia, Maggie, Darcy.
Isn't it weird as a kid,
Lynn,
just fascinated watching a lady look through
Natasha,
James,
a hoop? Neil, PJ.
Yeah,
a hoop. I see my friend Chris, and there's
Janelle.
What about
Jason?
And
do you see me? I'm right here.
Jared,
what about Bill?
Billy?
Billy?
I see Bethy and Paul. There's my friend Antoinette, and I see Alana, Jane, Amanda.
Where's Jason?
There's Julie and
getting
Tad,
mad now.
And I see Rusty and Nisia. And there's
who?
Jordan, Tim, and Jolene.
She just makes
and
shit
I
up
see
now.
Fred and Joyce and Amy and Roxy. There's Keith
Roxy.
And Jennifer. And I see Robbie. There's Jamie and Marissa. And I see Jarrett, Landon, and Mary
Jesus,
Ann.
Every name but
and there's
mine.
My friend that I saw Saturday in Alito. And
oh,
there's
okay.
a friend that
what?
Waits to me every day. Hope you all come back to Romper Room School again.
What a bunch of horse shit. You didn't say my name, Lee.
Every week I would sit there waiting for her to say Billy. And the one time she did, I flipped.
She saw me.
She saw me.
Awesome. Wonderful memories. And now we would like to thank our patrons. Robert Bihana. I see Robert Bihana. I see Paul Tai. I see Todd from the ATL. No, it's too creepy. They're like, he can
That's
see
really
me?
Creepy.
Yeah. I see Steve Steinbach.
See you. Brian. I see what you're doing in your bedroom.
I see Adam Howard. Love Adam Howard and his fantastic voicemail with Ross last week.
Excuse me.
And
Adam from the Bay Area.
Yeah, and he needs a lozenge. We also have Marvin. And I want to thank Michael Kiley from Chicago.
I thought he was from Ireland.
There is a Michael Kiley from Ireland. This is what's so crazy. We have a Michael Kiley from Chicago who's one of our patrons, Bill.
That's awesome.
And we also want to thank Hodor.
Hodor.
John Waltz, Jason Pash, Ken Proventure with a fantastic email this week. Watching that Pawn Stars, dude. I like it. I like it for the laughs. I love that smoker's laugh. Also,
it's filled with glorious emphysema.
I want to thank Kelly Murray, Jenny, Sruley Meyer, Adam Sexton! Thank you for your voicemail this week. I want to thank Carl, Tom Bickmore, Bill Lochner.
I love that guy. He's awesome.
Or as I said last week, Bill Laughner. Whoa! Can you hear that?
Yeah, I think she just totally flipped her lid outside.
You're ruining the show! Shut up! Also, I want to thank Darren Finland, Nathena Lewis, Brandon, Slade Bailey, Sean Uyoka, and I want to thank Tom Aresto. I always do that. It doesn't say his last name, but then I remember Aresto. I want to thank Tom Aresto. Baby is thanking you guys too, by the way.
Yeah.
I want to thank Kelly and B. Sly, Paul Wong Pan, Ross Pony, Mike Metcalf, Jean Francois.
Oh.
Hey, I'm doing a show over here.
We're almost done.
Get off my bridge.
Also, I'd like to thank Mark Anderson, Rob Bickmore, Sam Abbott, Swiley, Terry Farthing, Michael Kiley. Thank you, sir. And Andy Sims from, and he's versus Hollywood. Shut up!
Hey, these are beautiful fresh squirts. It's a pineapple squirt.
I'm going to go have a pineapple squirt after the show, Bill.
That sounds really good.
It sounds delicious. There's nothing appetizing about that, having a squirt. It just doesn't sound right, Bill.
I'm going to go have a good squirt.
It just doesn't. Remember, there used to be a soft drink called squirt.
There's still a soft drink called squirt. It's grapefruit.
I wouldn't give a squirt of piss for your ass right now.
Good God. That's rude. Chet, man.
Squirting my cake.
Yeah, I'd rather squirt some cake, Bill.
Ooh.
All right, guys. Well, Bill, thank you for being here, and thank you all of our patrons. I also want to thank Baby for being on the show, Baby the Beagle. And thank you, guys, and we'll see you next time. All right, everybody. Good night.
Good time.
I'm not leaving. I'm just going to take a piss.
Take a piss!
Unbelievable.
Now this is podcasting.
What the hell is going on?
It's a pineapple squirt.
Oh my God.
No external anus.
My goodness me. How delightful.
You want to throw up?
You are filth.
That's really not appropriate.
Oh, shut up.
I'm still mad.